The Joe Rogan Experience.
What's up, bitches? My friend Jason Tebow's all up in this.
Bitch, what's up,
everybody? I would say
bitch,
but I already said what's up, bitches.
I'll take your bitch.
I want to be redundant with my bitches. Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, I retired the word faggot from my vernacular.
Sorry to hear that, Joe.
I gave it up. I gave it up in light of this most recent controversy where I called this guy a faggot. Not meaning anything derogatory towards homosexuals, but, you know, there's this. The thought behind saying something like that as well, what's important is not the word. It's not a magic word. It's your intent. And that should be important, but when there's a word that confuses a lot of people and pisses people off, and that's not your intent, then really rationally and logically, you have to kind of accept that you have an ineffective word. That word's not that good. That word means too many different things. It means to some people, it means you hate gay people. And that is the furthest possible thing from the truth. I have absolutely zero problem with gay people. I have no problem with it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I've met a ton of cool gay people. And I grew up in San Francisco when I was a little kid from age 7 to 11. I was constantly around gay people. My next door neighbors were these gay guys that my aunt used to go over and smoke weed with. This big, gay, fucking scary, muscular black guy with a shaved head
right.
And his weird white friend. And these dudes would blaze out with my aunt. They would all get high and naked.
What years were these? Were they?
This is, shit, it was a long time ago, because I'm old as fuck. I guess I was 7, between age 7 to 11, we lived there, so that was like somewhere in the 1970s.
Right.
It was like right when the Vietnam War was ending. It was right. Like super hippie time in San Francisco, and that's where we lived. And we were just constantly around gay people. And I remember when I was a kid, I was like, I guess I was like 11, 12, when we moved from San Francisco to Florida. And it was a totally different ball game. You could not get culturally more of a 180 from San Francisco, which is like the most open-minded place on earth, in especially in the 1970s, to living in Gainesville, Florida, with alligators and shit and rednecks.
Right.
And there's this Cuban dude. I hung out with this kid. His name was Candy, and he was a boy, and his name was Candy.
His name was Candy?
Yeah, Candido.
Oh.
Yeah. Candy.
Sweet Candy?
I think Candy Oliveira. I think that was his last name. And his dad was like super homophobic, and his dad was reading the paper, and he's going, "Can you fucking believe this shit?" Like throws the paper down on the table. I'll never forget this. I was like, "Whoa, what is going on?" Like I had just been aware of war and that war ended. I was like real cognizant that there was some fucked up shit going on right. In the world. Like, you know, I had when you're like 7 or 8 and someone has to sit down and explain to you war, that there's some people like, why are these people protesting? I remember asking my stepfather. And he had to break this whole thing down to me, that there's a conflict going on, and these people don't want to have to go over there and kill people.
Right.
And I was like, whoa, what? Like, we go over, they take you and they make you go somewhere and kill people. And you don't even have to agree.
Like, war is unfathomable
That's
to children.
Not just unfathomable, but the idea of the draft and being forced into doing that.
Right.
Slavery. It's nothing but slavery for a military-industrial complex. I mean, that's really what it is. So I was freaked out about everything back then. I was just starting to... I was very unstable for a young kid.
Yeah, when you're a kid, you don't even like to be told to clean your room. That's the... Yeah. You know, that's... But let alone being told
so,
to go
anyway,
kill somebody.
So this guy freaks out. I can't fucking believe this shit. And he throws the thing down. I'm like, fuck, we're going to war again. We're going to war. This is what I'm thinking. And he goes, these fucking fags want to get married. And I remember going, what? No way. I'm like, I've clearly, I've,
you're that I've worked there's up been, over that.
I didn't even think that. I thought it was clearly a mistake. There's no way. Because I didn't know any adults like this.
Right.
When I lived in San Francisco, like I said, my neighbors were these weird gay guys and my dad's friends were all architects and computer programmers. They were all like really pretty smart people. So I'd never heard anybody that gave a fuck about some people getting married that they don't even know. But this guy was like really serious about it. And it was a really important moment for me as like an 11-year-old because I realized there's levels of adults.
Right.
There's some people that are just adults, but they think like children. They're completely ignorant.
Totally.
And even though they're adults, even though they have kids of their own, they're still idiots. And I remember that being a big, important moment. And that moment was because this guy was homophobic, and I thought that was the most ridiculous thing ever. So by me conveying any homophobic, you know, any not intent, but people receiving that and getting that message that I'm homophobic because I call somebody a faggot, it doesn't mean that with straight guys, but it doesn't matter if it doesn't mean that. The reality is, if it's making that many people pissed off and upset, and it's making them think that you care about their sexual preference, like, at a point in time, I was like, why am I attached to this fucking word? Like, am I just stubborn? Like, what?
It's fun to say.
It is fun to say, but why is it fun to say? It's fun to say because you're not really supposed to say it.
Same reason Fig Newtons are nice to say. It just sounds good.
Right.
Faggot.
Yeah, I just decided from all this that it was an ineffective word, and then I didn't want to be hurting anybody's feelings for no reason at all. I'm hurting absolutely the wrong people's feelings. Like, I don't care at all about the fact that they're gay, and if that hurts their feelings, if it's just this one word, it's like, it's enough. Who gives a shit?
But
like,
isn't it something just more about somebody just being way too sensitive?
Yes,
like,
it is.
Like, there's
it is.
Like sensitive straight people and sensitive gay people.
Oh, yeah.
I know a lot of gay people, you say the faggot in front of them, they don't give a shit.
Yeah,
absolutely, for sure and true, but... It's not like they're saying don't swear at all. You know what I'm saying? It's not like they're saying you don't call people cunts or douchebags or any other word that means exactly the same thing. You know, you call some guy a faggot, like, this guy's being a faggot. What do you mean? He's being a douchebag. It's really the exact same intent.
Yeah,
it's
but
like,
if somebody
there's a negative thing going
somebody
on.
Somebody says lard ass in front of me or fatso, I won't get offended.
But that's descriptive.
By
that's descriptive.
Yeah. So is faggots.
But it's not. It's not. It's confusing.
Yeah, it has an
it's
ambivalent confusing. Sort of meaning now. Yeah. There's a lot of people. It could mean pussy. It could mean, you know.
It's like too confusing. And you know, Louis C.K. has a great bit about it where he kind of defends his use of it. And every comic friend I know says it. And Ari and Joey, when they got me my birthday cake for my 40th birthday, happy birthday, faggot.
I mean,
that's
on
my birthday cake. Because we call each other faggots all the time. It's like, you know, like someone, Brian might call me and go, hello, faggot.
Yeah.
You know, just out of nowhere.
That's actually the better one that I usually say.
Yeah, it's just like when we talk, it's like fun, you know. It's like we're children. Everyone in our group, one of the things that binds us all together is we're all very juvenile.
Right.
You know, Joey is the oldest one, and he might be the youngest one. You know, what I'm saying?
I call my fleshlight a faggot all the time,
like, for obvious reasons.
Faggot fleshlight from fleshlight.com.
Yeah. If my dog was doing something stupid, like sniffing some fucking coyote shit, I'm like, get out of there, faggot! What the fuck you doing?
Yeah.
Say that to him. I don't mean my dog's gay for coyote dick.
Right. You're gonna have a lot of dog. Dog pet.
It's like, too confusing a word, you know. I just decided it's not worth it.
Is it been a big deal?
Like, yes.
I mean, have you been getting a lot of bad stuff from saying it?
Most people support me on it. It's a strange thing, too, because some people support me, and they'll support you. And they're like, fuck all those fucking fags. They can't fucking deal with it. You know, keep that shit out of our face. I'm like,
yeah, that's the wrong kind of support.
You're not helping the cause,
faggot.
Why do you care if they want to go suck cocks? If they want to suck cock from guys who like their cock suck, go get some. Who gives a shit? Could you imagine if that was you? If all of a sudden all these gay people were telling you you had to be gay?
Right.
That, you know, that
or you're just complaining about the type of chicks that I was sleeping with.
So it's a problem, man. The homophobia is a real problem. It's the same exact thing as any douchiness. It's just racism or sexism or guys who want to roofie chicks and fucking, you know, and rape them while they're sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
It's all the same thing. It's groups that hate other groups, and it's just fucking...
And it's such a new... It's like, even though it's old, like, homosexuality is super old, and like, you know, very similar to you. Like, I grew up in a very liberal environment. My mother's a lesbian. I was raised by lesbians growing up.
Shazam, what's that like? Let's talk.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about that.
So, but it's
your
like,
mom's a faggot.
I know. Don't listen, mom. But, you know, very similar to you. Like, you know, I grew up in, like, the Chicago area, but in, like, you know, early 80s, like, lesbians in the Midwest were slightly less rare than leprechauns as far as, you know, you would know it.
Yeah.
It wasn't as out as it is now. It wasn't socially acceptable at all.
Right.
You pretty much had to keep it under tight wraps or live in San Francisco or Chicago,
right,
or a really open area. You left
Maybe
that area.
Maybe not even Chicago.
It was pretty,
Chicago's
man,
tricky, no?
It's, you know, the line in the sand's pretty clear, but you could be more out then. I mean, the gay pride parade in Chicago is like the second biggest one to San Francisco.
When I think of liberal cities, I just think of New York and San Francisco. I mean, I guess LA, yeah. I mean,
right.
LA is pretty open.
But
and
I mean,
liberal.
As far as the whole Midwest goes, that's it. You know, like, it's not St. Louis, anything else. I mean, Chicago's like,
right,
if you're going to be stuck in the Midwest, that's your only hope of any sort of like liberal upbringing or, you know, not being bombarded. But so then when I went to college, I went to school in the Midwest, like Southern Indiana, Central Indiana, and I actually would meet people. I met a guy who's like, I never saw a real live black person until I wrestled one in high school. Dude, that's a direct quote from this guy, Lonnie Belville.
Holy
and I was just,
shit.
Dude, and I was just like, get the, you net. First of all, a real live black person, like there's some sort of like animals like, that are like, you know,
wow.
Some, it's like Bigfoot or something to him. But can you imagine how intimidating that must have been? Like, there's a real black guy, and now he's going to try to, you know, take my back and shit. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like, his first meeting with a black guy, any black person in his life, was on a wrestling mat.
And he was probably used to those slow-ass white athletes, too.
Oh, yeah. He
and
probably just
got, all of a sudden, he's got this dude on springs.
Right. He probably, yeah, exactly.
This fucking John Jones motherfucker.
Exactly.
Just can move.
Right.
Like, doesn't mean make sense
right,
how that
right.
guy moves. It's like, right. Why is he moving 10% better than everybody else?
Yeah, neck bridging him to
what's
death.
What's going up with that? How come he can throw bodies around like they're little dolls? What's
right.
going on with his body?
Do you remember?
Can we get him into a lab? We got to
right.
duplicate this shit. We got to get a petri dish and scrape some cells off of this dude.
It's like after the match, he's probably just like, it was very nice meeting your kind. You know what I mean? It's like.
Do you guys remember your first black person?
My what?
Do you guys remember your first black person?
That you had sex with, you mean?
No, I mean just.
That's
first.
That's
met,
totally
man.
What I thought he meant.
No, I knew a lot of them.
I don't, yeah, so. I grew up, you know, like I grew up. My, you know, high school graduating class was like half black, half white. Like, black, it was no big deal to me whatsoever. Like, growing as a kid, like, I never really even understood racism.
That's another thing that I didn't understand until I moved to Florida. And my mom and I actually got in an argument about it. Because my mom was, she was a good person. But when she raised me, she was very young. You know, she was 20 when she had me.
Me too.
And so she didn't know shit. She was a dingbat.
A kid. She was just
yeah,
a kid.
She was a kid.
Yeah.
So, like, she assumed I knew everything.
Right.
Like,
right.
I didn't know how people had
as
sex.
You did for her.
I did not know how that people had sex. And I didn't know how babies were born until I was 7.
Wow.
She never told me shit. And then she goes, you know. And I go, I don't know. I go, I don't know. Tell me. Tell me what it is.
You literally
You're just
going
to make fun of it. I go, I'm just going to make fun of it. Tell me how people make pay. I had no fucking idea. And my mom, I was in the car. I remember this very clearly. 1970 Barracuda. I'm sitting in the back seat with my sister. And I go, just tell me. So she tells me. She goes, the man sticks his penis in the woman's vagina. I start fucking laughing.
Right,
and she reaches back and hits me in the head for laughing. She's like, I knew it.
Right.
I knew you were just trying to make fun of it. I go, I didn't know. I didn't know what it meant.
It's a legitimate question.
That was one time that happened. And the other time it happened was we were in Florida because some kid kept talking about niggers. There was some kid in my school that just kept talking about niggers. Like, man, we got problems here. These niggers are moving in. And I was like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? And I just moved there, so I didn't want to ask questions. You know, I was a shy 11-year-old from San Francisco. All of a sudden, I'm around alligators and shit.
Right.
You know, and so I asked my mom, I said, what is a nigger? And she's like, will you stop doing that? Don't make me talk about things I don't want to talk about. And I go, I'm telling you, I don't know what it is.
That's
she
funny.
Goes, it's a bad word for black people. And I was like, whoa.
Right.
Like, hold on. Like, this dude is, like, claiming there's some war going on between
right.
white people and black people.
Well, in his mind,
and
there
I'm
are.
Like, is that really going down out here? Like, I was so shocked that the environment was so radically different. You know, San Francisco to Florida was fucking crazy.
It had to be.
God damn.
Especially, like, early 80s, late 70s.
Oh, my God.
It's
everybody was so
dead.
Dumb. Everybody was so dumb. They were giving out Bibles in school. And I remember
Strike
this
one?
One kid who would, like, be like, all super over enthusiastic whenever anybody brought up religion because he wanted to let everybody know that he loves the Lord. Right. And so we're like, I guess, like 11. Sure. And so they give it a stack of Bibles, and I take this Bible. I'm like, what am I doing with this shit? I already had been through Catholic school. I went to Catholic school for first grade, and I had this horrible, just nasty, evil nun who just ruined my whole idea of what religion was all about. So they were handing these books out. I was like, this is just ridiculous shit. Like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Right.
And there's this one dude. He goes, I likes reading the Bible. Oh, I'm so happy. I can't even wait to get home. Yeah, I likes reading the Bible. And I remember thinking, what if me and this dude were the only two people on the planet? This is my thought at 11 years old, looking at this kid screaming, holding it up in the air. He was holding the Bible above his head while he was yelling this. I was thinking, what if it was just me and this dummy and we were the only people on earth? Would I want to live? Would I want to live if this is the only guy I get to talk to? That's what I thought of at 11.
Wow.
Probably not.
I likes reading the Bible. I'll never forget that dude's voice. I just wanted to pull him aside. I go, dude, just come on, man. Let's think about this.
The kids in my neighborhood, they used to call this thing where they would knock on the door and run. They used to call it nigger knocking.
Yep.
And I didn't know that the word nigger. So one of my times I was like in front of the class doing something, I brought up, so me and my friends like to go nigger knocking.
Oh, my God.
Under your interests of things you like to do?
Oh, no, you did not.
Yeah, and I remember that I still didn't realize that that was a bad word for some time until one day I kept on using that word. And
oh, my God.
My mom was like, listen here, this is a bad word. But then my grandmother would be like, oh, I can't believe they still have colored cashiers at this, you know, all that. Like, she would say the word colored all the time. I'm like, what's that about?
Oh, my goodness.
I remember one time buddy of mine, a roommate of mine in college, we were with his grandmother, she's really old, super, super racist from the South woman. And they were watching TV. I don't remember what the fuck we were watching, but she goes, hey, look at the TV. Look at all those people with that nigger. It's like it wasn't even a person. It was like a totally different, like a totally. And both of us were like, whoa, dude, your grandma hate is like super. That's like this racism. And then there's like super racism.
Yeah, that's like hanging racism.
Totally. Like without even thinking about it.
You ever
like,
see those creepy fucking black and white photos from the South?
Oh, yeah. They're terribly disturbing.
Like,
yeah.
Black people are hanging. The white people are just standing around looking at them.
Yeah.
Just standing around looking at them. Nobody's
upset. That wasn't that long ago, Joe.
That was not that long ago.
Those same people are the same people that like pose with dead deers now and like chopped off legs of deers. And
that's like
the same kind of photos. It's like, I'm just with dead.
It's only two generations ago. That's only watered down two generations.
Scary.
That's, you know, 40s, 50s, that shit was going down, 60s.
This shit's still going down all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, there's people that are chopping people up for no reason all over the world. It's scary shit, man. How about in Africa where they're going after albinos for witchcraft? They're using albino
witchcraft still
blood
around?
And, oh, huge. Yeah, it's a big business in Africa.
Right.
Dude, it's terrifying. There's all these documentaries on witchcraft in Africa and all these guys who are – they do exorcisms. People hack up their own kids because they get convinced that their kid is – before we go any further, our show is sponsored by the Fleshlight. Just like to bring that up.
Yeah.
Fleshlight.com. If you go to joerogan.net and enter in the code Rogan from the link, you get 15% off your Fleshlight.
I want to get into the Fleshlight in a little bit once we get
I'm so happy that we have Fleshlight as a sponsor now because I got a new bit. It's a fucking monster. It's killing them.
It's hilarious.
Killing them, son. It's all about the Fleshlight.
We got to get into the. I have many Fleshlight questions coming up and soon. But keep going with the.
That was a segue killer.
It was a segue killer.
Where did I leave off?
You were talking about the business of witchcraft.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge business in Africa. It's terrible. It's really terrible. These guys, they're just nothing but con men. They take these people and they convince these people that their kid has a demon inside of them. He's a demon inside him. I got to get it out. And they make the kid eat awful shit. And they take, you know, they do all these crazy rituals. But basically, all they're doing is just taking money from these parents. And they tell me, you have to give me $5,000. If I don't have it, he's going to hell. I mean, they have just these people just lose their fucking minds.
So it's like, you know, evangelism or something.
Yeah, and they have guns. These guys have guns. By the way, these exorcism guys, they're like armed with AK-47s and shit. It's crazy.
They had a thing that was like the top 10 most dangerous countries to go to.
Africa by far.
Eight of them were African.
Yeah.
Eight of the top 10. And then the other two were like, you know, Middle East or right there.
Yeah, I mean, we're all worried about what's going on in Afghanistan. Shit, if those fucking, some of those people that are those Somali pirates, if they figured out how to get planes and start flying to other places.
Or just
places,
nuclear, get their hands on a nuclear bomb. Nuclear bomb.
The Somali pirates, that situation is crazy. They attacked a U.S. warship this week. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I did.
How loked are they? They went after a goddamn U.S. warship, and they were in a raft.
Dude, that's like
they shot like rockets
at a
fucking. They jacked everybody. They arrested them and took all their shit and went after the mothership and sunk that. They're like, bitch, they had a flex on people. Wow. They sunk all
right,
their boats
right.
And chased down. There's some other guys. Apparently, they couldn't find them. They took off. That goes to show you how goddamn big the ocean is.
Yeah.
If the U.S. Coast Guard or the U.S. Navy rather can't find you, if they got warships and they can't find you. Goddamn, how big is this fucking ocean? But yeah, these crazy assholes, they fired on these fucking people in a warship. Dude.
That
shit happens a lot, though.
That's just how desperate they are. That's the people you got to be worried about. Yes. The people that are desperate.
So desperate.
They don't care if they die. They don't care.
Do you know how that all gets started? Mm-mm. They call themselves the People's Coast Guard of Somalia, or the Volunteer Coast Guard of Somalia. And what happened was European companies were dumping a lot of toxic shit in the ocean. Off the coast near where they lived, and they were just overfishing the fuck out of it. So they're taking all these fish, dumping all the shit in the water, and they're dumping all the shit in the water. Now it kills all the fish. The water becomes polluted. They can't make a living. And so they first started kidnapping these boats that were dumping shit, and what they were doing was taking these guys, and they were bringing them and holding them for ransom because they're losing money. They can't fish anymore. But then once they got used to doing that and getting ransom money, they said, let's just start jacking people.
Right.
So then it turned into the Somali pirates, where it's like a big business and they're making millions of dollars and they get millions of dollars every year and no one knows exactly what to do with it, and it's not like right near them. They go hundreds and hundreds of miles out into the ocean,
and yeah, that's an impossible thing to police,
dude. And they're loaksters. They're ready to die.
I mean,
they
that's
don't
like,
give a fuck.
They're like the gangsters of the sea, literally. Like, you know,
everybody
I mean?
Around them's been dying. It's amazing they made it this long. The pressure of making it this long, wondering when you're gonna die, is probably staggering,
because
everything they're around is like people getting shot in the head and people dying and them shooting people and 12-year-olds with fucking machine guns gunning down people just for a laugh. I mean, that's Africa all day. All day. So these crazy motherfuckers are out in rafts trying to take down a U.S. warship.
That's ballsy. That's like the barking chihuahua in like a dog park, like trying to take up a...
Right.
But I mean, look, think about this, man. We're nothing like that is going down in Afghanistan, you know? I mean, we need to fucking concentrate on the really crazy places. Mexico and Africa.
And Korea.
And Korea, too, yeah?
Right, that's all
we got a warship that's heading to Korea right now.
Yeah, we just need to clear that whole country down.
No, South Korea's awesome. Don't say that.
Just kidding. Yeah.
How dare you? Koreans are up in arms right now.
Literally.
I grew up
literally
around Koreans.
Up in arms.
Constantly around Koreans.
Yeah, me too.
Doing Taekwondo. I used to have to teach class in Korean. I didn't really know how to say it. I just knew how to say some of the moves and how to count. I could count to like 10 in Korean.
Right.
I don't know how to do it anymore. It's like, Hana, do, set, net, dos, yos, yulgo, yudul. I don't remember how to do it right, though. Mm. I might be saying it all wrong.
Yeah, you were like martial arts a long time, like Korean.
From when I was
Taekwondo,
a little kid.
Taekwondo. And then what you.
I always wanted to go to Korea. I always wanted to go and compete there.
You're just enamored with martial arts, like when you were a kid. That's like,
yeah. Well, I became obsessed with Taekwondo when I was in high school.
Right.
Because it was the first thing I ever got good at. It was like, for me, it's like my whole life. We moved around a lot. I didn't have friends for any long period of time because we just kept moving. So by the time I was in high school, I had no one who was a friend. I just constantly had moved.
Yeah.
So I was super insecure, and I needed something to make me feel like worthwhile.
Right.
And so I started doing Taekwondo, and I got obsessed with it. And plus, I was small too, and I didn't like the idea of people picking on me and fucking with me. So I wanted to be able to beat the shit out of people. So
right.
I was like, the only way to do that is you got to learn some karate. You know, it's like in the movies, man.
Right. Get some Chuck Norris love in my life,
man. I kind of fucking figure out how to fight. This is bullshit. I'm tired of being scared.
Right. It's funny that like once you start doing that, that's like generally the last thing you want to do is fight. You know,
yeah.
What I mean? That's
the nicest people I know are fighters or people who train, because they don't have to worry. First of all, they're not insecure about it. Men are always sizing each other up and wondering what would happen if we fought. Man, me and that guy just fucking kick his ass.
Right.
But realize they're saying that, but they don't even know what they would do. Do you have a plan? What are you gonna do? You're gonna hit him and he's gonna run away.
Right.
You're gonna knock him out with the first punch. Like, what if he fucking dodges your punch and comes back with a counter and then shoots for a double? Are you ready for that?
Right.
You have your sprawl ready? Are you really ready to fight? Do you really even know what that means?
Right,
no,
right,
most
right.
guys know. So they're all chest puffy and talking all this shit.
It's very hoping, peacock feather
yes,
shit.
Rah, hoping to yeah, fucking yeah. talk people down. But people who train and actually fight, they don't have to do that. They don't want to do that. It's a different mentality. The human animal is designed for conflict. That is just a fact. We have hardware from thousands of years ago where you had to fight off intruders and you had to kill your own food. And that's a fact. And the hardware that we have today, despite the fact that our life is not like that anymore and we have this complicated society that it provides us with supermarkets and traffic and all this other thing, these other things we have to deal with, the bottom line is that our body is still the same fucking body that has the same reward system set up. So it has all these ghost needs, needs to crush. Crush things, needs to kill. That's like a satisfaction.
Needs to breathe.
These are rewards that you get from killing animals when you kill an animal and eat it. This primal reward. That's designed to keep you alive. It's very similar to the same reward right. that you get when you fuck and you have kids. It feels right. good to fuck because that's a reward system set up to make sure you fuck.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's all
just, survival of the species.
Yeah, we have this old ass hardware, man.
Yeah, there's no app for that.
Yeah, exactly. And you, a lot of people have tension because they don't train, because they don't do martial arts, because they don't go and hit a punching bag.
Right.
And it doesn't mean you want to hurt people. It doesn't mean you want to be
mean. It's just
mean.
A release of that.
It's a natural, great release.
It's the same reason like yeah. a lot of like pedophilias and rapists, they all have that like pent up sexual yeah. energy. They have like old shit. They don't actually.
You shouldn't even think about martial arts in terms of hurting people. When you're doing it in training, you're just playing a game. And the game does hurt, you know, but it's a game. The game is you're trying to hit that person, they're trying to hit you. You try to get out of the way and counter. Give out more punishment than you take. You know, figure out a strategy that can get past them. Figure out what they're doing and getting. I mean, that's what it is. It's a game of using the human body sure. in physical contact. But it's a satisfying game, and it does wonders for your psyche. It does wonders for your confidence.
Right.
Yeah, and it does wonders for your relaxation. Like whenever I get upset about something, I'll freak out about things. I go, man, I probably should have worked out before I dealt with that,
right?
You know, like this whole thing the other day where I called this guy a faggot. I guarantee you, if I had just worked out, I went to the gym before that happened, I would have been like, who gives a fuck about this dude? But because I wasn't, I got all fucking amped up. I just wanted to crush something.
Right, right,
you
know? Right.
You sure it's just that you're not tired from working out, though?
That's a little bit of it, too.
You know?
That's what they used to say in Taekwondo. The Taekwondo guys are always, my instructor used to say it was Korean accent. They're always the nicest guys because they're always tired from kicking each other.
Right.
He thought that was funny.
Yeah, because every time I work out,
you're always sore too, man. You're always sore. Like my shins would always have these big giant knots on them and fucking big welts and
mm-hmm.
they'd pop and bleed and you know, you're always clashing shins and shit. Like think about that all day, smashing shins into each other.
Checking kicks.
Kicking people's elbows and shit and breaking your feet. I broke my feet at least twice on my left foot. So annoying, man. You break your foot, you can't do shit for a long time too.
Right.
And you don't even get it fixed. They don't even do anything. They just go, yeah, you got a broken foot. Okay.
Walk
so something cracked. And it just, I mean, unless it's like some compound serious fractures that are
require
massive surgery. They just go, yeah, heal up, dude. You got a crack on that thing.
Yeah, see in 2 months.
He does a new character now called Sticky Fingers Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah, Sticky Fingers Gonzalez.
You love that expression, Sticky Fingers.
Yeah.
That was in another context before the show.
Yeah.
We're talking about that.
And it's so funny because, like, the whole point of it is that, like, somebody would go on stage, like, you know, like Whitney Cummings. There's a video out with Whitney Cummings doing her act. And then next he comes up dressed up as, you know, Sticky Fingers and just does her whole act.
We do it at the Naughty Show. Like, I go up after every comic and I just bastardize their jokes.
Oh, that's great.
And I was like, I wrote this a couple days ago.
You do it with a Mexican accent.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a poncho, sombrero, sunglasses.
How dare you? Fake mustache. Dare you?
It's pretty funny.
That's very funny, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very funny.
It's very funny.
You know, it's funny. We used to do a thing back in Boston. I forget what his name was. Kevin Riley, I think, was the host. Kevin Flynn. Kevin Flynn was the host, Boston comedian. And he used to do this thing called Joe Biden Night. Because back in 1988, a lot of people don't realize this because Joe Biden is our current vice president. But Joe Biden ran for president, and when he ran for president, they found out that he had plagiarized like a ton of his fucking speeches from Kennedy, from JFK.
Oh, yeah.
He was repeating shit.
Nobody knows any of his speeches.
And people were like, God damn, where have I heard this before? This guy's got a good writer, but fuck, you know, this is ringing a bell. And so somebody went back and checked the transcript. They had to check transcripts back. back
right.
then.
Right. Imagine now. It's you can't get away with shit now.
Can't get away with shit now. But people still try. That guy that Palin was supporting, it plagiarized JFK, too.
Oh, yeah.
But so we used to do Joe Biden night at the Stitches in Boston, where everybody would get up and do somebody else's act. It's funny. That guy's the vice president now, and he was such a big joke in 1988 that we had a night at a comedy club dedicated to him.
Right. There was a while back, my buddy Brian Jarvis, a very funny comedian, we were talking about doing a stand-up karaoke night.
Where
it's like you
idea.
Can like pull like other comics like names out of a hat or something, right. and you have to try to plow through their fucking famous bits or whatever the fuck.
Who would you do if you had to do anybody?
Sheesh, boy, that's a good one. I don't.
Mine
know.
Is so easy.
Who's yours?
Joe Diaz.
Oh, dude, you have the best. Yeah. They have the best Diaz.
I was in Ann Arbor, Michigan last week, and people were calling out for Joe Diaz impressions.
Oh, dude, it's a home run impression. Dude. When I was listening to the podcast before, and you were telling Joe Diaz stories, and you're talking about how like you were in Jersey after Vegas. And then the phone rang and you didn't know where the fuck he was. Yeah. He was like, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not still in Vegas, cocksucker.
I never left Vegas.
You know what's going to happen? Pretty much you're going to start doing like 20 minutes of your act as Joey Diaz. And then Joey Diaz is not going to have to do anything, leave the house anymore.
Well,
and
he just go on stage. I mean? We'll wheel him out in one of those little scooters and he can wave to the crowd and I'll talk. So when he has his first stroke, I'll just
do it. Dude, Diaz looks great. He and I were this gig
lost
together.
100 pounds.
He looks incredible, yeah. man.
He's going to lease out his name, though, like Gallagher to
we're going to do a fucking cartoon, cocksucker. That's what we're gonna do.
A cartoon.
If we do it a cartoon, I would just do his voice for the whole cartoon.
He wouldn't do anything but collect checks. Yeah. He wouldn't even have to do the voice.
He would have to do meetings. It would be maybe he'd do tours. You know, this is Joey Coco Diaz's tour. This is where I live. This is where I feed my cats.
Radio promos.
This is where we went down the street. This fucking guy right here has got the best weed.
He just have ideas for the cartoon and shit.
Yeah. He needs ringtones.
I've already got the cat stone.
He should have everything.
Dude, he just has to have ringtones. It's just like, rawr.
Almost all of our friends.
Answer your phone, cocksucker.
Almost all of our friends have Joe Diaz as the outgoing message. Like when you call Eddie Bravo has the fucking best outgoing voicemail message ever.
Yeah, Ari had a good one.
It's all Joey going fucking crazy.
Right.
Joey going crazy. My client, Eddie Bravo, is busy. He ain't got time for your bullshit and your questions and, I keep getting grounded and pounded. Buy the fucking book. Learn the rubber god. Practice it. Shove the book up your ass. But no more stupid fucking questions.
My favorite,
only text messages.
My favorite thing he does is when he does his girl voice or his gay voice where he suddenly just changes. And goes,
I keep getting grounded and pounded. Dude, it's fucking buy the book. Shove the book up your ass. Dude, he's going insane. I've heard the message. I've called Eddie. Eddie's had that message for like 5 years. I've called it over and over and over again, and I still laugh every goddamn time I hear it. It's
that's
hilarious.
When you know you got a good one, when people don't even want you to change it.
Yeah. Oh, please. And meanwhile, Eddie is like a professional jiu-jitsu instructor, and he has people calling him up about business.
People.
And this is the message that he has on his outgoing. I mean, that's how much he likes it. He likes it so much, he's like, I'm going to keep it.
No, it's right there on the title.
Buy the book. Shove it up your ass. And he was going crazy, red face, spit flying. Oh. You could hear it all.
Dude, he's the best. Diaz is one of those comics that it's like no matter who you are, it's like following Diaz. You're just like, well, let me just roll up my sleeves.
I bring him everywhere. Him everywhere. It's the most fun. It's the most fun because when I go on stage, the audience is already howling. By the way, Joe Diaz and I are going to be doing a New Year's show at Mandalay Bay. And we just picked this up. It's a big fucking place. It's like 1,700 seats.
Oh, shit.
And so you're going to hear me talking about it some more. If it gets annoying, it's just because I have to sell 1,700 tickets. But it is the weekend of the UFC. So the night before, it's New Year's, and then there's a UFC the next day. So you're going to get hungover watching dudes get fucking pounded on.
New Year's Day, there's a UFC?
Yeah, it's New Year's Day on January 1st. That's the Saturday, and New Year's Eve is the Friday night. So it'll be me and Joe Diaz at some new theater thing that they got going on at Mandalay Bay.
Bad.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Badass, it's going to be fun as fuck. I'm trying to think of other shit we could do. I was going to bring a DJ. I was going to bring a DJ on stage because I heard that Russell Peters does that, and it's kind of fun. And I was like, maybe that would be fun at the end of the night, have like a fucking cool DJ, but they don't want to do anything like that. You have to clear the place out.
Right.
So I'm trying to think of what else. You know, it's a New Year show. We got to think of something that makes it more interesting instead of just a show, you know?
Videos. Right.
Maybe. Yeah.
How about I come on stage and fuck a fleshlight?
Or how about doing a
Team
live podcast?
Just fucking threw his head into the ring.
Or do a live
just
podcast.
Just putting it out there.
Do a live podcast.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, maybe. But the problem is, Vegas is so fucking short attention span. It's not really the place to do a podcast.
Yeah, you don't want to pump
because if
brace,
we're all on stage just shooting the shit about things, there's going to be people yelling. It's going to be weird. I mean, we maybe could do that.
Let's get MC Chris.
But
MC
see,
Chris.
What I'm saying is if we maybe did that, then it would be hard to get up and do stand-up.
Right.
It would be hard to just go up and go and just start doing your act afterwards. It would be weird because you'd be like, okay.
It's a whole change of pace. It'd be a whole fucking,
yeah. Yeah, it'd be like all of a sudden I'm in fucking performance mode.
I know.
What is this? Hey, you ever notice?
What about MC Chris?
What about him?
I wonder if he would do
that. He's your type of music.
He's a fun party, though.
I'm sure he is. If I wanted if I wanted music, though, I'd want some rock and roll. I'd want some crazy band. I would like those 70s guys, Steel Panther. I'd love mm-hmm. them to do it, but I'm sure they've got their own gig.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Those guys are
they
animals.
Kill, dude. They've been killing for a long time.
That's a fun.
I think they have a television
show
in development now.
Do they?
Yeah, I think I heard that.
Isn't it crazy that just came back like with the Thunder?
Right.
Like it used to be like being, you know, like someone who was into that music was embarrassing.
Right.
And now it's like,
dude, everything
back.
Does that though. Everything does that.
Yeah. It didn't. I don't know if it used to happen that way. I think this is a fairly new phenomenon.
That's why I'm going to wait till the word faggot comes back in. I'm just going to hold on to it. I'm going to.
Yeah, it's not coming back. Yeah. But the world's getting softer as people get easy. As life gets easier and easier, people come up with more things to be upset about. You know, I mean, if life is very, very hard, you don't waste your time on bullshit. You don't think about bullshit if you've got a lot of shit going on in your life. But when life gets easy and it's easy to get food and it's easy to get fat and it's easy to be lazy and it's easy to do a job that you don't really like and waste your time away, then you start looking for things to get mad at.
Right.
Then you start going, I don't like your tone.
Right. Well, and also, like, if I can bitch about you and what you're doing, it takes the light off of anything that I'm fucking doing.
Pointing
wrong.
Fingers, you know?
Yeah.
You're
dude.
A piece of shit. I'm
if I can make you
now.
Look bad, you have no idea how bad I look.
Yeah, that's a weird thing when you if you have a disagreement with someone and you say, hey, man, like, why are you, you know, you're doing this. This is kind of fucking me up. Yeah, well, you always fucking do this with that.
Right.
This, what's up with that? And you go, we're not even talking about that. We're talking about you right now. Like,
that's
why you,
textbook.
Yeah, why are you going immediately to jumping, pointing the finger at me, trying to even the score?
Now, if you don't want to talk, you don't have to talk about it. If you don't want to talk, obviously, it's your fucking podcast. But
how dare you?
So what like, prompted you to just, you know, passively just be like, shut up, faggot, or whatever the fuck happened.
I just
like,
talked to
what
people.
Was the detail?
I talked to douchebags like that all the time with this guy in the internet.
Yeah. What happened? What's the whole hubbub
about?
I already sort of talked
about it. It's just this is what it's all about. It's about negative mixed martial arts reporters. There's a few of these guys that are trying to do this sort of Jim Rome thing where they're trying to like insult guys and say the most insulting shit possible. That's like their whole shtick.
Right.
The problem is you're dealing with someone who's putting their emotions, their physical health, their future, and possibly the quality of their thinking on the line every time they step into that cage.
There's nothing more gnarly
than
that.
And these guys who are reporting on it are making a living off of these guys taking these chances and performing.
Right.
And you must respect that. In my world, I think that is one of the most important things. It's like, that's someone who's very vulnerable. I mean, it doesn't seem like they are because they're these destroyers and these killers. That's a very vulnerable place to be. And, you know, to be shitty and to be douchey to these guys and to do it anonymously, just and do it as a person who doesn't know anything about martial arts. And this is my problem. I hate that shit. It drives me nuts.
Sure.
And this guy is like the worst guy ever at it. He's like all of his stuff he writes is like negative. All of it is insulting.
It's like the Perez Hilton of UFC.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
And they're you know, he's doing it.
Or
that's
MMA.
Like his shtick. Well, he picked on me. And he picked on me about something. He said that I was incorrect about a technique, which I was correct about. So I just decided, you know what? I'm tired of this guy's bullshit. So I just attack him.
Right.
So I just, you know, and I called him a faggot, which probably negated in a lot of people's eyes all the positive things that I said.
Right, yeah.
They're like, oh, he's a homophobe.
But dude, that's
but,
and it's probably
but
exactly
that's how I felt.
Wanted,
you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm and you know. And look, you know, and people are like, what, do you hate that guy? You're like, I don't hate anybody. I just don't want him to behave that way. I don't know him. He might not be anything like that. That Thomas Rios guy might be a nice guy, and that might be just what he's trying to do, you know? I have no idea. I don't hate him, but I hate that form of journalism. It's a terrible thing. It's wrong. It's unfair. it's putting out all this negative energy for no reason.
Yeah, it's sensationalism.
Yeah, and I have no problem with people critiquing people's technique. Like if you say, you know, say if you're talking about a particular fighter, well, he never really developed outside of the one-dimensional wrestling type fighter. He's never really developed to stand up. He just likes to take guys down and beat up. If that's just a fact, that's just a fact.
Right.
But this is not what this guy's doing. It's like insulting. Like he's saying really shitty, nasty things about people. And then when they lose, like he'll tweet them and say, like, see, I told you. Yeah. Like
that guy's just waiting to get his back taken out of Ralph's.
Two heavyweights, Matt Mitrione and Joey Beltran. All right. Two cool motherfuckers, too, by the way. Joey Beltran is the shit. That guy is a cool dude. He's like a really, really nice guy. And he's a DJ in his spare time. He does like bar mitzvahs and shit.
Right.
Okay. My man's out there grinding. All right. And this guy's just talking about how he's going to get fucked up and how he doesn't belong in the ring with this other guy. It's just the way he said it was super douchey. So Joey Beltran responds, and even how he responds to it is like, yeah, thanks a lot. That's a lot of help, or something along those lines.
Right, just kind of like,
and then
go
after
fuck
he loses, this dude sends a tweet out that was something like, apology accepted, because I was right. You got your ass kicked. Right. And it's like, man, you're just fucking with a vulnerable person, man, for no reason.
And also a vulnerable person that can kick your fucking ass.
Yeah, and it's like I said, there's nothing wrong with critiquing their technique or critiquing even their character, their behavior, if they're acting in a certain way and they're acting douchey or something like that. There's nothing wrong with being honest. But when you just start, everything is just attacking and negative. There's no joy and praise. Like, what are you even watching this shit for? You know, it doesn't even seem like you're enjoying it.
Well, he's just trying to make a name for it. I mean, it's a great analogy you said of Jim Rome, but because do you remember when Jim Rome got famous?
Yes, for doing
was
that.
He was with Jim Everett, was a quarterback of the Rams.
Yeah.
And he had him on the show, mm-hmm. and he had kept calling him Chris for like his radio show. Mm-hmm. And Jim came onto the show pissed off, and he's like, you know, I'm here to set this record straight. You're going to quit doing that.
And he did it in front of him.
Yeah, he's like, whatever, Chris. And he's like, say it again.
Same shit happened.
He waited for like 3 seconds, and then he goes, Chris. And fucking Everett flips the table over on him and jumped on him. And dude, he was famous ever since then.
Yeah.
This guy's just waiting for somebody to fucking throw one punch at him. So he's all in the news.
First of all, you can't compare Jim Rome to an internet blogger.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying, though. But that's the best thing that can happen to this fucking asshole.
Well, it's not even.
I don't know if he's an asshole. I take that back.
It's this thing where they're trying to just get attention only by just negative shit. You know, there's no joy for it. There's no, it can work for some guys. Like it worked for Rome. I mean, it can work for some guys.
Right.
But it's you know, it's fucking shitty, man. It's shitty. And there's a big difference between a guy losing a basketball game, which sucks, and a guy getting his ass kicked. Okay, I guarantee you, nobody has felt worse than Brock Lesnar after Cain Velasquez beat the fuck out of him. Probably no one that's ever lived. Right. That's about as, I mean, outside of losing a loved one, that's about as bad as you can feel.
Right. Physically and emotionally. Probably more so emotionally.
It's as bad as being fired from a job you love. Right. It's as bad. I mean, he just got the fuck beat out of him and humiliated by a guy who's smaller than him, and he's this big, giant, fucking Goliath of a man.
And a heavy favorite. He was pretty heavy favorite, like 3-1 or something.
Yeah, you got to respect that, man. You know, you got to appreciate the fact that this guy took this crazy fucking chance. And yeah, he did it for money. And yeah, you know, this is what he chose to do for a living. That's absolutely true. But no one feels that bad if they lose a basketball game. You want to shit on basketball players? It's really a different thing, man.
Right, totally.
Even then, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. Critique their character. Critique their technique. Critique their ability to perform. That's all well and good. But when you start just insulting people and just wanting them to feel like shit, you know, with your commentary,
right,
totally being inconsiderate of this person's feelings,
right? Everybody knows that guy.
Which, by the way, we've all been guilty as comics of doing that. Of someone, I'm sure you've made fun of someone.
Sure, but I mean, you know, that's a little bit different. I mean, you can make jokes about people.
I've said some mean shit in the past about people in the sake of comedy that I wouldn't say now. You know, I just think about it different now.
You mean in stand-up you wouldn't say it now? Or you
yeah.
Right.
Like now I look at it and I go, what do I give a fuck about if that guy's doing this?
Well, I feel like a lot of that is like growth in your own like act and as an artist and stuff. Early on, you start, you know, that's something you probably do earlier than later when you start getting better at stand-up and you start getting better at...
It's also you just consider why am I upset at this guy? You know,
right.
I know it's just
what's
a joke.
Terry Schiavo
or what's a cheap
you?
Joke or a cheap shot.
I never
shot,
had any Terry Schiavo jokes, but what was it? Like the Hugh Hefner joke. I wouldn't do that one if I had a chance to do it today.
Really?
Yeah. No,
that's such a funny joke because you're not really playing him. You're
I would
playing
do it
like
differently.
A character of him.
I would do it differently. I don't know. But I would not do the Anna Nicole Smith one. That one, she doesn't get a pass.
Yeah.
So right. That one.
Yeah, there's few people that earn one, it, though.
Yeah. You know, when you start fucking a billionaire, I'm okay.
An old billionaire.
Did she really get the money, though? Whatever happened with that? She kind of died before that all got worked out.
Well,
right?
Yeah, I think she overdosed before when all those litigation, yeah, like her family was like, we're going to sue you to the end of time.
I wonder if they killed her, bro.
Maybe.
Dude, I mean,
you're easily, that rich.
They could have easily killed
that's Texas
her.
Money, right?
That's Texas money.
I mean,
Texas
assassins.
You could, yeah. Indirectly. I mean, if they didn't, indirectly, they probably drove her to fucking...
Right.
They're like, let's just keep this in the courts till she kills herself. You right. know what I'm saying? I mean, she's...
Yeah.
You know, like, she's that type anyway. I mean, obviously...
It's also weird that her son died, too. Mm. I always found that weird.
Whoa, also. What if you find out this is like some crazy conspiracy?
It probably is. I believe we that should, more than Tower 7.
We should call Alex Jones up right now.
Yeah, right?
We should call up Alex Jones right now.
What the fuck?
Is that your Alex Jones impression?
Oh, no, that was Joey Diaz.
Oh. Hey, when is that video?
He has like Joey Diaz Tourette's over here.
When is that video coming out?
What the fuck?
The one I'm doing now?
Yeah.
Is that the one where he was on the radio show?
Yes.
Just lost it?
Greatest thing that's ever happened.
I'm editing a part right now that's pretty funny. That has to do with censoring words. Where we went to a radio station and they wouldn't let Joe say the word retard, which we thought was
but
weird.
He could say everything else but
yeah. No, you or, couldn't no, say you can't say everything else but retard's a new one that you yeah. can't say.
So
wow,
they so, call it people call it the R word now.
Yeah.
Oh, the R word.
Yeah. So I'm dead serious. I've gotten tweets. Well,
so faggot replaced the F word replaced the N word and now the R word's replacing the F word.
Yeah.
Yeah. What like I said something about MySpace. That I went back and looked at my MySpace page, and I felt like it was an abandoned child that I left in a retarded forest. Yeah. That's what I wrote.
Right.
And people...
It starts raining down on you.
Like, I got a bunch of tweets. Like, I can't believe you used the R word. I'm not kidding, man. It's the fucking R word. Like, when I was a kid,
they said that in the tweet? The R word?
Yeah.
I can't believe you used the R word.
That's what my mom used to say to me if I did something wrong. Don't be a retard.
Is there gay homosexuals?
What?
What? You mean retarded homosexuals?
Like retarded faggots.
Dude.
But you said gay homosexuals.
You said gay homosexuals.
I mean, handicap homosexuals.
You're too high to be talking right now,
fella. Yeah, right?
Fucked up that
there's
bit.
There's gotta be.
Handicap gay people. I'm sure there are.
You think?
Yeah, of course, bro.
Well, maybe, yeah, I don't know.
I guarantee it.
Makes sense.
Guaranteed.
What a shit roll of the dice that is.
Yeah, I just wonder if it works, though. Yeah, right? It just seems like that would be something that you would have to be 100% to know that you're gay or, you know? I wonder if there's such a thing.
I got a definition of queer. Some fella on the underground told me what queer is because, you know, one of the acronyms of lesbian, it's like LBGTQ. Q stands for queer, and queer means not particularly attracted to anything, attracted to whatever. Like sometimes it'll be
so
a guy.
So it's like bisexual.
How is that different than bisexual?
Right.
How is that different than bisexual?
No, that's...
It's the same thing, right?
It's just ignorant gay people.
This is just showing you what a bunch of fucking pussies we are. That somebody let them put that in. That someone said, well, isn't bisexuals this enough? Don't we have enough letters? No. I'm not represented.
Right.
I'm queer.
I'm not decisive
I'm not
enough
gay.
To be bisexual.
I'm not bisexual. Meanwhile, most offensive gay voice ever. There it is.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
Here it is. Yeah. This is my gay voice from now on. I'm going to do a gay voice like a businessman. That's my gay voice from now on.
Or you should do like that.
Do a Japanese businessman.
Don't feel represented. Mine type is queer.
I like it in the butt.
Right.
Not always. He likes it wherever he likes it.
Sometimes.
In my mouth, sometimes up my ass. It's like, that's just someone just pushing it. That's what that is. That's pushing it.
Right.
You can't tell me that's different than bisexual.
But do people just want to label? People have to label you. Like,
yeah,
what's your deal?
How could you call queer? How is that different than bisexual? There's no argument there.
If that's the definition of it, there's no difference.
I'm going basically, by the way, just off some dude on a message board.
Right. Yeah. He might probably not the most reliable of sources.
Himself, but there's something about it, man. I'm like, I think that might be correct, man. I don't know. It just sounded so.
Because like growing up, I always thought, and you know, this is just. I mean, I don't know where this came from in my head, but growing up for me, queer was always just like you're just not quite straight. You know what I mean? You're not totally gay, but you're definitely not straight.
When I grew up, queer in Boston was just another version of faggot.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You fucking queer.
This game's queer.
Yeah. And there was no R. Queer.
That MMA. Right.
There's no R's in that, in Boston.
That MMA
no
blogger's queer.
It was never like, the look at these queers over here. Like, if there's a bunch of gay guys, that would sound odd. If there was a bunch of gay guys, it would be like, you know, a lot of guys would say faggots. A lot of guys would say, they wouldn't say queers.
Or fags.
Yeah.
Faggots wasn't big for me growing up. That wasn't a big word. Queer was, but faggots was kind of more like,
yeah, it's
college.
Yeah, well, it's more
homos
like,
was a big one too. Yes. Homos, you got that.
But
a lot.
I mean, way, even that was like the same thing. It really is. I mean, there's really no argument that it's not. It's not like a desensitizing sort of an attitude to use all these different gay slurs. There's really no argument. But why are they so fun to use?
Right,
it's annoying.
You know why? It's because of what you said earlier. It's like when you're growing up as a kid, it's just fun because you shouldn't be saying it. Yeah, right. It's taboo.
Right.
So
but
then it
so
becomes a part of your vernacular. It becomes a part of your vernacular. So you know, as an adult, it's just like ingrained in you to be like throw it out there because it has that edge to it.
It's
or whatever,
got an extra notch. It's got an extra notch that fuck, like cunt has an extra notch. That's why I like using cunt.
Love it. Cunt. One of my favorite words. Yep.
You dumb cunt.
Yeah, bro. That's a bottom of the barrel,
dumb
dude.
Cunt.
You call somebody a dumb cunt. The look is great. No.
And I've had
that's
people
a shutter upper.
Say, unfollow. I cannot believe you use such derogatory language towards women. Meanwhile, I was talking about a dude.
Right.
I was talking about a dude.
And
I have people unfollow me because I use the word cunt. But I use the word cunt at least once a week just to weed out the bitches. Anybody's on my Twitter and then you know you can't handle cunt, get out of there. Yeah. Get.
Right.
Because people assume that most people's Twitter, if they're in the public eye, is not going to really represent how they actually talk.
Sure.
Most people, they give you some, like, when was the last time Ashton Kutcher said cunt in his Twitter?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm sure you hang out with Ashton Kutcher and you have a couple of drinks and smoke a joint with him.
Cunt
he's going to say
cunt. That. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know, he's going to talk about this dumb cunt.
Right.
Something. I mean,
right,
come on,
right,
everybody
right.
does, man.
And all
it's
the queers.
Fun.
He probably says queer a lot.
It's fun.
These queer cunts.
But I think the women that get upset at that, women get upset at using the word cunt, those are extra cunt. Cunty. Those women are brutal. That's who I'm talking about. They're brutal.
Right.
They must be brutal.
Yeah,
give me
a chick that likes to be called a cunt in a sack, and now I'm
set especially
for life.
When you're talking about
set
one,
for life.
One particular chick. You're talking about a particular chick. You can't call a particular one a cunt.
Right.
That degrades the entire population
of
humans with vaginas. Really? That's ridiculous.
Right.
It's like me being upset if you call some guy a douchebag or call some guy a dick.
Right.
You know, what guy would stand up and go, I can't believe you're talking that way about men.
About all dudes.
Yeah. Right.
No guy would. Nobody.
It's like that fucking.
How dare you talk about men like that?
That weak ass thing that some people will say to you, like, oh, you hate women. You know, Brian Posehn and I had this argument too. I mean, not argument, rather. I love Brian. I had this discussion. He was having an argument with some female comic. And he goes, and as soon as the argument got ugly, she goes, I think you hate women. And he goes, that's really funny because everyone that's ever said that to me, I hate.
Right? He's hilarious.
He's hilarious.
Well, I think that's just a weapon.
It's weak.
A very specific woman uses that weapon.
It's a political correct weapon.
That's when I've been backed into a corner. I'm going to throw that out there just because it's so tab. You know, it's like, oh no, I don't want you to think that about me. No, it's like, I hate your type of woman. That's what I hate.
It's a bitch thing to say. It's a weak ass, you know, like a fake magic spell. You hate women.
Right.
Is that what it is? Because you're annoying. Like, all women are you.
Exactly.
Everyone is the same.
Every
single fucking woman on the planet is exactly the same. There's no variation.
Right.
I have hate for all of you just because you're annoying.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so weak, and they just try.
Well, that's the same thing as what's going on with this whole like faggot comment.
No, I disagree.
Really? Why?
I disagree. Well, first of all, I hate women. All they're trying to do is put you on your heel.
Right.
They're trying to make you feel like there's something wrong with you. They called you on it. You hate women. Of course you do, and they'll like stick with it.
Right.
Like, you know, you don't even know. No, I don't hate women. I hate you. No. I'm sure. I can tell you hate women. I see what you're doing. You hate women. That you hate women thing, that's them being weak. That's all that is. That's them trying to look for some reason why you're wrong, some reason why you're bad, some giant blanket statement to label you. But someone saying faggot, I mean, that legitimately is a slur for homosexuals.
Right, I see what you're saying.
You know, even if you don't use it that way, and I don't use it that way, and even if Brian calls me up and I'm like, what's up, faggot? And I'm like, how dare you? Are we going to go eat? You know, it's like, that's how we talk. That's
it's not a slur
at all by then. But
that's the term of endearment. It's actually the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. There's too many meanings. Too confusing to some people. But that's totally different than you hate women.
Right.
Someone saying that, that's just the ultimate stupid Trump card. It's like, I called it. You hate women. Like, it's so dumb. It's like no dude ever says that fucking chick, she hates men. Or if they do, if they're guys who can't get laid, that does happen. Where dudes got fucking lesbians. Those guys.
Oh, that's just, those guys are just hater dudes, right? I love that.
It was a buddy that I.
It's always somebody else's fault that a guy can't get laid, too. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just, chick was a bitch.
There's a dude that.
Like, no, it wasn't the way you were acting, you dumbass. It's because she was a bitch, right? Yeah.
There's a dude that I used to hang out with a long time ago, and he used to always do that. He was brutal. First of all, he'd hit on anything, and
right.
The girls didn't want to have anything to do with him. Fucking lesbians. Like, literally, fucking lesbians. And he'd be angry and look down and shit. Like, wow.
Right. Meanwhile, she's leaving with another dude.
Hey, let me ask you this, man. Your mom was gay. What was it like in, like, high school and junior high when dudes would make lesbo jokes?
Didn't it bother me too much. I have, like, a joke in my stand-up that, you know, two chicks making out's the hottest thing in the world till it's your mom. You know what I mean? Dude, then it's just, you know what I mean? It's like,
that's
no.
So true.
Right,
oh,
bro?
My God, that must be so true. That must be so weird.
So it's like, dude, like growing up, or like, especially in college time, you know, when girls start like getting really like sexual and stuff like that, I would always wind up dating girls, would always want to be like, you know, I made out with a couple chicks before. Like, trying to like that would matter to me. But it's like, I grew up with that being no big deal. Like, chick on chick porn does nothing for me, bro. You know what I mean? It's. Almost in a weird way, it has the fucking weird, like, I can't
like
watch
a mommy
it.
Thing.
Yeah, exactly,
like,
dude.
It's
like,
my mom.
Okay, please let a dude. I hope a dude walks in the room soon,
the
man.
Black guy, anyone. Chinese guy.
Exactly.
A fucking ninja.
Exactly.
Anyway,
exactly.
How about throwing an animal?
I know.
Anything with a dick.
Right. Yeah, exactly, bro. Somebody with a boner, please walk in the room.
So, was it common knowledge amongst all your friends?
Some of them, yeah. Some of them, no. But like I said, like, I grew up in the Midwest, and it was very taboo. And it's like, dude, it
what
was kind of fucking.
What part of the Midwest?
Northwest Indiana, right on Lake Michigan City, like 20 minutes outside Chicago.
You know, we did a show in Indiana, in Indianapolis.
Naptown.
They booed John Cougar Mellencamp.
Wow, why is that? Dude, he lives right there.
Because he's a liberal.
Dude,
can you believe that,
great.
Dude? They
yeah, I can
booed
believe
him.
It. I can fucking
they
totally
put his
that.
Ass, they put his big ass fucking head on that screen, that giant screen, and you're...
That's strange.
He probably said something about deer hunters or something.
Yeah. Dude, it's hardcore. Something I mean, that, stupid. You know, you really don't, like... That whole area of the country.
America.
I mean, I have nothing totally against it, other than it is exactly what you think it would be. So really, we did this whole like their roommates fucking cover up. You know what I mean? And just
my
let the dummies
Josh,
think shit.
I grew up with a buddy that had an obviously gay mother.
Sure.
And we were like, man, you sure your mom's not gay? No, my mom's not gay. He would like fucking deny it to the death. Meanwhile, his mom had short hair. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And she lived with this woman who was 250 pounds, who would wear a vest. With sleeveless vest, right? With
right.
a sleeveless shirt underneath it.
Changing the oil on the car in the driveway.
Yeah, and she had these big, sloppy, like, truck driver man arms.
I thought you were going to say tits.
She was horrific. She was a big, giant man thing.
Right.
And
back
she
then,
lived with this guy's mom, with my friend Josh's mom. And I was like, dude, what's up, man? Your mom's gay. No, my mom's not gay. I go, I don't care. I don't care if your mom's gay, but you got to tell me that your mom's gay. Because otherwise, this is a crazy. We're never going to be honest about anything.
Right.
You know?
Like
I know.
So
something
odd,
it's like you know it's
if
like,
you're gonna lie about what's obvious you're gonna lie about everything
yeah.
bro. You're kicking
it's
over
like,
my sandcastles
I'm
here.
Showing up at school every day with a dress on. Do you believe I'm a girl? No, you would say you're a dude with a dress. The fuck, man.
I know,
we
right?
Can't
I know.
No, I am a girl. Come on, let's hang
right.
out. No, we can't hang out anymore because now you're talking crazy.
Yeah, right.
Your mom's gay. So it was like when we were like fucking 15. If I was like, yeah, my
yeah. I mean,
gay.
That's you know, growing up, that was sort of you know, my sister was very. Like would just talk about it all the time, very open with all her friends about it. I just kind of just like never said shit. If anybody would ask me about it, my buddies would talk, you know, we would talk about it. It was really no big deal, but it's just like one of those things where, especially when I was younger, I mean, dude, that's like back then, like 81-ish, 80, fucking Midwest. That's like wake up with a burning cross in your yard kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? For real. Like
I knew a dude when I was 13. When I was 13, I was 14. I was 14.
Right.
He was a gay hustler. He was a friend of a friend of mine's, and they would do drugs together. This guy had like a real coke thing, and I think this guy got him the stuff. And we were all hanging out one night, and I was like, "What does that guy do?" He was like a little older than us. He was like 17,
right?
And it's like, hey, he makes money, just doing a lot of shit that he shouldn't be doing. This is my friend Jimmy, who used to talk like in code like that. He was like real blue collar construction guy.
Yeah, everything's very vague.
Should have been doing. So eventually, I found out that this guy was like. He used to, but he doesn't do it anymore. Apparently, he's done with it. He was like a gay hustler.
What exactly is a gay hustler, dude?
A gay hustler is like you go out with rich dudes and suck their dicks.
Right. Oh,
and they
okay.
give you money.
Right.
And you hang out with them, you know, you hang out with them like for the night and you make it look like you're partying. And you're like a party boy and you go from one place to another and that's how you make your living. That's what this dude was doing. Wow. And he wasn't gay, apparently. He just, yeah, he had a problem with drugs back then. He fucked up.
sucking a lot of dick.
This was the strangest fucking thing. You know, I was like, I guess I was 15 at the time. I might have even been 16 now that I think about
it. And that's Boston? That's when you're in Boston?
Driving, yeah. So he might have been a bit older now that I think about it, because I think I was driving at the time. So I must have been 16. But it was a poor,
that's some eye-opening shit,
dude.
Right there when you're like, God damn.
Yeah, man. So you get to see a lot of shitty choices. You know, that's one thing about growing up. You get to see a lot of shitty choices. Like, I've talked about this in the podcast, that I never did coke because my friend Jimmy, his cousin, was selling it. And his cousin never left the attic. Him and his girlfriend, just they had an apartment in the attic.
Boarded up windows.
Coke and fucking hid from the world. And he lost like 15 pounds and they just looked pale as fuck. They always looked like death. And I was like, this dude is like disappearing to this drug. Like, this is nuts. So I thought, okay, that shit's off the menu for life.
Any drug that where your teeth start falling out, you know what I mean? Like heroin, crack, coke. It's like
grinding.
I draw the line where your teeth start falling out. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's something's bad when, like, you see somebody, they just don't have teeth. They don't give a fuck.
Have you ever slept next to somebody that just ground their teeth at night, like really bad?
That's
like, just sound like marbles crunching
that's like
in their
stress,
mouth.
That's stress, man. That's stress. That's some weird.
That's like TMJ,
anger.
Too. There's a weird disease or something.
My
like
dentist
that,
says I don't grind my teeth, but I'm a clincher. Like I'm just always tight.
You know what that means?
No.
You're thinking about taking the ass and you're prepping. You're gripping. You're biting down. All your dreams
warmers.
Are about you taking the ass. It's probably big black dicks, too. That's what it probably is.
Well, what's weird is when I did salvia, that seemed like that's what I was doing. It was like,
it's a pillow biting thing. Going that's down what it is, man.
Pillow biting.
You're thinking about you got a mouthful of pillow. you're chomping down.
You're calling me a faggot.
No, I'm not. I'm not calling you a faggot at all.
Are you
I didn't even use
face?
That word. You're putting words in my mouth.
Why you not
that was our
me?
Obligatory black dick reference. Right. There's a
brought
thing
to you
on
by
the
Fleshlight.
There's a thing on the Rogan board where they're like, how many times will Joe bring up black dicks this podcast?
Yeah. Right.
I'm a juvenile motherfucker, man.
I think we're at 4 so far.
I'm not stopping either, all right? I'm 43 years old. I still have a wall chain. I wear a backwards baseball hat. I'm a child. I'm a juvenile old man.
43 going on 17.
I don't give a fuck.
Eternally.
I don't have to grow up any more than this. It's like, why? Just because my body's aging, I'm supposed to change? This is stuff that I like. I mean, I've evolved, but the shit I like, I still like. All right,
and you can't help that.
Dicks in the ass is always funny. Diaz walked up in the Alex Jones studio. This is one of the things that's in the video, and I've talked about this, but it was so good I had to talk about it again.
Yeah,
he gets up. He's talking about smuggling weed under his balls, and Alex is going crazy. And this is how he gets up. You know, I'm in the middle of crying, laughing because he's describing his ball. This is my left ball is bigger than my right ball because I'm right-handed. I thought I had cancer for a couple of weeks. Anyway, that weed's under my balls and it's stinking. And Alex Jones going, no, no. He's going, yes, yes. And he's and
like,
I'm,
he's saying, no, like, quit talking about this shit.
Stop this. He's talking about smuggling weed under his balls on the Alex Jones show, which is like, he has like Ron Paul on his show.
Right.
Like a lot of like serious presidential candidates and Tea Party people. Right. They go on the Alex Jones show. And Joey Diaz is talking about smuggling weed under his balls. And then when he's done, he stands up and he's got this thing going on with his fingers.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, Joe Diaz, Facebook, Twitter. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Big dicks in your ass is bad for your health.
And then he just walks out.
And then he goes, stay black, because that's the most important thing. And he gets
and
up and walks out of the studio and leaves me crying. Beat red in the face. I can't catch my breath. I'm crying, laughing. And Alex Jones going, he's Satan. He's Satan. He's the devil. The poor fuck. It was one of the greatest. But, you know, that's what makes me laugh, man. I'm sorry. I am a very deep thinker. When it comes in, what does that mean? That sounds like something I'm trying to get laid. Saying.
Deep thinker.
Oh, no.
Very deep thinker.
Deep thought.
I think a lot about a lot of shit that's not juvenile. I think a lot about space and about, you know, scientific discoveries and then what is life and what is this all about and the big philosophical questions. I think a lot about all that stuff. But when it comes to laughing, like silly laughter, I like my shit dumb. I like a lot of shit done.
Oh,
I like clever thrown in there with it. Right. Like, I love in my own act. I love to have clever stuff. I love to have, like, really well-crafted piece that's weird and strange, and then mix it in with some just silly-ass dick jokes.
Yeah,
and,
right.
I mean, just, like, 8 premises in my act where a dude somehow or another winds up blowing some guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, that's what I think is funny.
Right.
I'm just a child. I'm fucking so juvenile when it comes to my sense of humor.
Yeah.
Right. And I think everybody is. I mean, everybody has. As like, you know, you learn to laugh. It's this weird hiccup that only like the human animal has from being surprised. It really is. It works a lot like magic. Like magic, you suspend disbelief. And like when you're doing stand up or even just joke telling, it's like people think they know where you're going to go.
Right.
Their brain's constantly trying to be ahead of you. And when you flip it on them, it creates this weird hiccup. The only human, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's very old. I mean, it's old. You know, you can There's scare babies. Type. When you scare babies at that age, they hit a certain age when laughter becomes, you know, in their life. And when you, like, you can startle a baby and they'll actually laugh.
But that's only one type of laughter. Like, Joey Diaz, you know exactly what's coming. It doesn't matter. It's still
right,
funny.
Sure.
There's no tricks.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He's
right.
not like,
and no, but that's
he's not, and I'm like, grandma, please, ba-dum-bum, get
yeah.
it? See, you thought it was going to be a
no,
guy,
but,
but
that's
it's really
exactly,
my grandma.
Right.
Cocksuckers, I tricked you again.
Yeah, no, that's exactly, I'm totally agreeing with you, where it's just like, there's something about that other kind of laughter, where it's like, you're laughing at it just because it's just, you know, it's just funny the way that the person is just a cartoon. He's so cartoony.
Yeah,
you know
well,
what I mean?
I
like, I love listening to him talk.
There's a bunch of different ways for things to be funny or reasons why things are funny.
Right.
You know, it's just, the most important thing is find the most things. Like, ironic things are funny. Like movies, like unintentional comedies. Like Grizzly Man, we were talking about that before the show.
Right, right.
How funny Grizzly Man is. How funny R. Kelly is. That's
right.
really funny, but it's a different kind of funny. It's
right.
like, it's fun, like, oh my God, he's serious funny.
It's like, I can't believe, yeah, exactly,
yeah.
Right, right, right.
I mean, there's a bunch of different kinds of funny, but that's the key. If you want to be a happy person, have as many of those in the mix as possible. And this is the problem. One of the big problems I have with all these alternative comedy guys, there's a lot of guys that they become like sort of comedy snobs.
Yeah, can't stand
and
it.
What they're doing is, and they're upset if anybody talks about sex. Like, I know this one guy who got upset at a friend of ours because he talks about sex a lot. And he's like, man, you're better than that. Like, why are you resorting to cheap jokes? Like, look, man, this guy is a sexual deviant. This is what he thinks about all the
right,
time.
Yeah.
Like, can't he just talk about sex? And, you know, like, what do you care? It's like, there's a lot of people that don't allow certain things to be funny because they feel like it's beneath them. You know,
and it's such a subjective thing. Like, that's, it's funny that you mentioned, I was talking about this earlier with might even be the same person we're talking about right here, but, you know, it's such a subjective thing. Like, you, there's always all these comedy, San Francisco comedy competition mm-hmm. and shit. It's like, how can you be,
right,
like, it's
and
like,
it's judge clever comedy.
Yeah, it's like
Joey Diaz will never win one of those.
But it, yeah,
you know
I don't
saying?
Know how, absolutely. Yeah. It's like, how do you judge something that is so opinion based? Like, everybody, mm-hmm. you know, you might find this funny or that funny. Or,
well,
and it's,
yeah.
And that alternative comedy scene where they are so judgmental mm-hmm. and, you know, and that's such a, it's a cunty defense.
It
it's
is
a defense
cunty.
Mechanism. Like, a lot of those people, can't they don't they they're you know ostracized by clubs or they can't get into the regular clubs regular scene and they develop this clicky little circuit
right.
where they just look down on everybody.
Well,
and
you know
judge
what
everybody.
I was there like, for the beginning of that alternative comedy
I remember
shit,
it well, very well.
Well, no I bet you don't, because I was there in Cambridge, Massachusetts at the Catch a Rising Star where
right.
I really started. It was really,
I thought you meant out here
it was really David
it,
Cross
well.
David
sure.
Cross started it all off, but what he was doing is very different than what's going on now. What's going on now is a lot of people are really basically doing standard stand-up. It's just they're doing stand-up where they don't exert a lot of energy.
Right.
And they try to be like a certain – they're trying to have a certain amount of, you know, clever words
yep.
tossed into their comedy.
Obscure references.
They try to,
right.
you know, they try to have really well-written stuff that they try to impress, you know, comedy
right.
geeks with. Like
sure.
people who like
absolutely.
That kind of comedy. What Cross was doing, he did a lot of weird shit, man. He was taking a lot of chances. Like, some of it didn't work, but I always appreciated that he was doing it. It was always
yeah.
really interesting to me. Like, I remember one time I went to Catch, and I was waiting to go on stage, and he was doing this crazy thing when I walked in the room where he was just had an exercise video. Not an video, rather, an audio tape that was telling him how to stretch out.
Right.
And he was, like, doing it and commenting, like, wow, it really does feel like it's stretching me out.
Right.
Like, it was so strange.
Well, it's very... That
people didn't
shit.
Know what to do. They didn't
yeah.
know what whether they should laugh. They didn't
right.
know whether they should...
It was very like Kaufman.
I mean, he was, but he was like really committed to it. And the way he was behaving was like the crowd should be like on the same wavelength as him. Like, wow, this is really stretching me out. Like, it was like
right.
this weird sort of performance art thing that he was doing.
Right.
And it didn't really work that good, but I remember thinking like, wow, this guy's like doing some interesting shit. It makes you think like I'm doing like kind of cut and dry, like standard stand-up. Like,
right.
Maybe what I'm doing is not as interesting as what this guy's doing.
Right. Or it makes you see how broad the actual spectrum is of
yeah.
what you can get away with, what you can say, how you can make anything funny versus like
right. And he was fucking around, he was experimenting, but that was in my opinion, that's real true alternative stand up. He's like
right.
trying a bunch of different things. He was doing that was just one example, but he was very creative. He did a lot of different things like that.
Right.
But what I see a lot of people calling alternative stand up is like stand up comedy that you would expect from someone who's into alternative music. That's right. What it is. It's almost like they've decided to plug the same clothes
Into
comedy.
Right.
It's like, wear this outfit, and now you're a comedian. Right. And then do what you think, you know, those guys would appreciate. They were too hip for the room.
But that's exactly what it has become. It's not saying that's what it is. And, you know, because I think originally started as sort of like a... like a counterculture thing to the stand-up comedy boom of the 80s and, you know, even early 90s. And then you got this, like, spin-off thing with, like, Cross and Odenkirk and all those kind of guys, which were kind of doing the counter, the stuff you couldn't get away with doing clubs, which is not such shiny materials, longer premises, talking about shit, even
more
a little more political.
Crowds, weirder, smaller crowds.
Yeah, sure. You know, big in San Francisco, like, you know, Austin, places like that.
Yeah.
And what happens is it just got watered down. Mm-hmm. You got all these people, they're like, I want to be like that.
Right.
So they just start, it became a cookie cutter situation.
You're so right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And now you're not getting really true alternative comedians. You're getting fans of true alternative comics doing like material, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's caused sort of a, I don't know. I think it's going to cause more of like a pushback to, like, you know, traditional, if there is such
a
thing as traditional stand-up.
Well, a lot of them are doing traditional stand-up. That's
exactly,
what I'm saying.
That's what I mean.
They're pretending
because,
it's different.
Right.
They're doing stand-up. They're just doing premises they think an alternative guy or gal
It's like
cover.
If it's a pillow fight, all the feathers are out of that pillow. You know what I mean? And
exactly.
A bunch of people are just swinging empty pillowcases.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not going to, you know.
It's like they're putting on an act.
Totally.
And that's the act.
Yeah, and it's just because that thing, you know, it's an oversaturated style.
But there is a good argument, though, for having a place where that kind of comedy gets a chance to grow.
I think it's a necessity.
Kind of experimental comedy.
I totally agree
with that.
To
call it alternative is like a good move.
Yeah.
You know, to figure out. I mean, there's got to be some. The real problem with our whole thing is that comedy is just like one thing. It's like no one just goes to see music. You know, like, what kind of music is this? Is it rock and roll?
Yeah.
Is it country? Is it jazz?
It's like what we deal with is, like, symphony and rock and roll are all lumped in together as one thing.
And
right.
And it's what gets on before you really makes a big difference. If Joe Diaz goes on before you and just starts talking about, you know, pulling turds out of some girl's butthole, stuffing his nose.
Getting 2 points on his Weight Watchers for eating a girl's ass.
My nose, I'm eating her ass.
Right.
2 points. I'm licking a monkey from behind and I'm sticking my nose in her asshole. I'm doing the pigeon. Buck, buck, buck.
Right.
He goes, that's a chicken, but what the fuck?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if he's doing that and then you want to go do that stretching video, people are going to throw glasses at you. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, you can't do the two of them on the same stage.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean there's some people that might not want to see that weird thing. And maybe they're not into, like, overtly, ridiculously sexual juvenile material. And
right.
It's like it's a taste issue. You know?
Right, and that's why I'm saying it's the same reason these comedy competition things are bullshit.
Gross.
Because you can't... How can you, you know, it's like such a fucking opinion-based thing of what's funny and what do I like, and it's your own personal taste. So who's going to be like, that guy's the winner right there, Joey, you know what I mean? It's like whoever.
Music's the same way, though. I mean, if you really think about it, people who judge like Rolling Stone, they say this CD's like 5 stars when, you know, to another person, that CD's the best fucking CD in the whole entire
world.
Yeah,
but what you don't have is like, you know, the Rolling Stones having to, you know, schlep all their gear up to Seattle to just like, you know, compete against every other new band to be able to put on their resume. I won the Seattle band competition
amateur,
or whatever.
If you're
for a comic, though, that does mean something.
That's what I'm saying. It really does. I
if
mean,
you're like
you can get
at a club and it says on the marquee, you know, Jason T-Ball, winner of the Seattle comedy competition.
Yep.
Bam.
Yeah, I know a lot of good people. I mean, that was very, like, it really helped when Al Magical won the San Francisco comedy competition.
Did it
really launched him into a lot. I mean, very good friend of mine. I know he's a good buddy of yours.
Yeah.
You know, that was very, you know, that launch, you know, because it matters to industry.
I worked
extent.
With Al Magical. We worked together at the Old Cobbs. The Old Cobbs was this tiny ass room. It was like 150 seats. It was awesome.
Yeah, San Francisco's a great place
to
gig.
The Old Cobbs was the shit, dude. It was like one of the smaller rooms in the country, and it was so good. There was a bigger place that I was working at, and I'd rather work at the small place. It was like so cool. But then somehow or another, it caught on fire or some shit, and they moved out. Something happened. They moved out, and they moved to... They might have just moved out. I might have made up the fire part. Or the fire part might have happened after them. It might have been the new company that took over because it became the Green Room afterwards.
Right.
But then they opened up Cobbs, the new Cobbs, which is it's way better because more people can get to see it. And it's a way bigger crowd.
But it doesn't have that like personal kind of like, you know.
There's something about being in a room with like 200 people. You know, like when you're in the OR at the Comedy Store and it's right. packed, it's like maybe 190 or something. What is yep. that seat? Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Less like, than 200.
That shit is magic, man. Yep. When you get a tight, packed group of people like that and it's a low ceiling and it's a dark
and
room.
Everybody's in there and it's surrounded. The best is like when you're doing, do you remember how Dublin's used to be? Did you ever used to do that gig?
It was okay, like, but Dublin's had that bar where always people would be talking.
Yeah, you know? But I mean, where it was just like a wall of people around mm-hmm. you. That was the best. I used to love doing Dublin's.
Yeah, there was a lot of arguments at Dublin's about stealing material. I remember a lot of that. I remember like I gotta get the fuck away from here. There's right. a lot of people didn't like working there. And
that place got closed down for noise ordinance reasons. That's
really?
Yeah, that's why all the houses right up in the hill.
No
yeah,
way.
Yeah, that's why they closed that and then wound up having to sell it or something.
Wow.
Now, I don't even know it. Now it's like one of those douchebaggy clubs, like nightclub bullshits that are all over the
place. There's a lot of those, man. That is one of the, you know, as you get older, you know, the whole club scene, like where's the cool club to go to? Let's go to the VIP. And like, that is like one of the douchiest things.
Dude, I never got into that shit.
Can't talk to anybody, man.
In my heyday. You can't hear shit.
You can't talk to. It's one thing if you
go. A lot of those people I wouldn't even want to talk to. Right.
It ain't bad. Like, remember when you and me and Doug Benson and who else was with us? Eddie. And
went to Sky Bar?
No. I'm looking at Brian.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we went to had the dance off.
Yeah, where was that? It was in one of the clubs in Vegas. But who else was it? It was you, me. I know it was one of the comic.
Oh, yeah, it was Doug Benson and Ari.
Was Ari there?
Probably. I think it was Ari.
Maybe it was Ari. Anyway, it was like six of us and Eddie.
It's Tripoli.
Tripoli.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah.
And Eddie and Eddie's girlfriend and a couple of other people that we knew. And we just had a bunch of drinks and we were dancing and being silly and making videos with each other. And that was fun.
Sure. Yeah.
That was fun. But it was, we were all together.
Right.
Otherwise,
yeah.
you can hear a fucking thing anybody's saying.
Right.
I got to take a piss.
Yeah, I know.
Like, what? And you have these weirdo conversations where you're talking in the guy's ear directly and you never know who gets to talk,
right?
So you'll turn at the wrong time, and sometimes you come really close to kissing because you're so close. You're like, no, I told him it's cool. Right. He's not mad. Are you sure, dude? Oh shit, he almost fucking kissed. you meet in the middle, and you're like, I mean, touch noses and shit.
That happens on the ear all the time too.
You always
accidentally hit the ears.
Exactly.
It's like hot. Those clubs drinks are like $14 for you have like four drinks. It's like $60.
Breath smells like shit.
Yeah.
Right, if you've had two drinks, your breath smells like shit. Period. Because you're drinking poison and your body's producing all these weird acids going, what is all this motherfucker's drinking? Shit. How much food do we have in here to sop this shit up?
Right.
This fucking
those clubs
nasty,
are only good
breath.
if you're on ecstasy in those clubs. That's where it's at because you know, can't hear, you can only see. You just start dancing.
Yeah, those places are built for drugs.
It wasn't bad because we were super baked.
Right,
we were super duper.
Right,
baked.
And you're all together. It's like you're with all your buddies. Yeah. You're not just like the worst on the clubs like that is like you and your buddy go to a joint like that trying to pick up on chicks or whatever.
Right.
It's the fucking dude. It was a nightmare when I was like, you know, in my 20s or early 30s. Like the thought of doing it now, it's like,
That's where that culture of man hating comes from. It comes from men trying and trying and trying to get women.
It's chest beating shit.
It's also trying to get women and failing.
Sure.
Trying and failing. And then developing a resentment. Like my friend used to call girls lesbians. He was really just an unattractive dude. And he really had a hard time getting girls. And so he was constantly getting this negative feeling. So he developed this. And it's because you don't even get to see your personality. Nobody's even getting to know anybody. You can't even talk to each other.
It's purely like
lust, animal, noise, and moving to vibrations.
Exactly.
And then alcohol for shitty decision making.
Right.
And then grinding against your dick so your dick starts getting hard. Now all your thinking's out the window.
Right. It's purely caveman monkey shit there. It turns into like just your DNA just starts acting up.
It's the dumbest shit ever.
Did you see that shit that they closed down at LAX? They closed down one of the terminals last night for like a few hours because this woman fell down on the ground and they had to call the ambulances and stuff. And like she ate a pot cookie and she
really
she blacked out.
Yeah, she blacked out or did something.
She
accidentally ate one or she
did eat one. And then,
these rookies are gonna fuck it up for everybody, man.
And so, but
and they love busiest, pumping that up in the media too.
Of course they
because
do.
Of this
busiest,
fuck.
You know, busiest travel day ever. Though, imagine being waiting in line to go on your plane, and some chick couldn't handle a pot cookie.
Is that really true?
Yeah, it was
do
on the news.
Do you have a news story, son? Because I need to put this in my act.
It was on NBC4 Los Angeles.
I have a bit that's a true bit that I'm working on right now that I just started doing recently about I took a pot cookie and I got on a plane, but the plane was delayed when we were headed to London.
Right.
I was sitting in the lobby of the plane in the waiting area. What's that called? What is that called?
You're actually on the plane?
No, waiting to get on the plane.
Sitting at the gate,
and CNN is on. Yeah. And I'm so baked. I'm so paranoid, freaked out,
right?
Thinking about my mortality, thinking about what will the Earth ever explore? What happens if a meteor comes? Would they tell us? I'm looking at fucking UFOs over
typical
Manhattan
Joe Rogan and, thoughts, right?
Dude, but super, super, super baked.
Right, right.
To the point where I'm like, whoa, I am way too high to be sitting by myself in the airport waiting to get to, you know,
right.
watching CNN.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I got through it and I was fine. But we did it with Ari. I gave Ari a breast strip. Oops, I should have said that. I gave Ari
allegedly,
and he got on the plane and he was like, or no, it wasn't even me. I didn't even give it to him. It was before he got on. That's what it was. Because by the time we got on the plane, he told me that at the moment we first got on the plane, before it took off, he was seriously considering running up to them and asking them to let him off the plane. He goes, I had to keep it together.
Right. I can absolutely see Ari doing that, too.
I talked to him recently, and he's like, oh, I just did it again. I was like, wait, you ate? No. Like, he ate again before he got on the plane. I'm like, see, to me, that happened to me once on a plane, and I was splashing water in my face, and I thought I was going to die. I went to the bathroom 10 times, and I thought I was going to really have to tell them the same thing. Like, I need to land. I think I'm having, you know, a panic attack. But he did it like 2 weeks later. He just went right back into the saddle. Like, I'll eat another couple cookies.
And he freaked out again?
I don't know if he freaked out or not, but he the fact that he went back to it so quickly, though.
Dude.
He went back to almost being arrested, federally arrested, and making this plane late and, you know, and all this other
kind. I would have got arrested too, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
I was right with him.
Definitely.
Right.
They would check to see who else was on his ticket and go, yeah. Okay, you got something
yeah.
on you,
come
too.
On, why don't you tell me what happened here? I'm like, I don't know. I don't live with the guy.
I know.
Guy showed up blasted. He's got an issue.
I know. I'd arrest him too if I was you.
Yeah, but I'm with everybody else, man. When you start fucking eating cookies and making everybody else hold up for 2 hours
because
your funky ass can't take it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, they have a problem in Amsterdam where they're starting to ban edibles from coffee shops.
Why? They're
telling people, because people are fucking eating what they call space cakes. They have these fucking muffins they eat. You just disappear, man.
Right.
You just stop being Jason.
Right. They're banning it from tourists, too, now. Did you know that?
They're doing it in some places. In some places they're doing it, but, you know.
Well, that's the tricky thing about edibles. You just never know what you're going to. I did that Howard Dover's gig in his, like, you know, marijuana show that he did in down at La Jolla Comedy Store.
Oh, he does them down there, too?
He does, yeah. Well,
down there's tricky.
Yeah, very tricky. Very
San Diego's very Republican. They forced
especially
all
La Jolla,
the pot stores out.
Surprisingly.
Yeah. Well, you know why? It's because they've got money.
Exactly.
They've got
course,
money, and they're
course.
Right next to Mexico.
Right,
you know,
right.
You tend to get a little fucking conservative when that's going on.
No shit.
So they have the same thing as they have in L.A.
show.
Where everybody's smoking?
Dude, it was mayhem. It was mayhem. So I'm down there, and I'm baked as fuck. And I come into like that, you know, that little green room they have. It's like a closet, basically, where you can just put your coat or whatever the fuck. I go in there and I'm stoned as fuck. And the whole table's filled with cookies and brownies and all this shit. And I'm super stoned. And I'm like, fuck yeah. Not even thinking that they're edibles.
Edibles.
And dude, I slam a fucking cookie that's like this big. I slam a cookie.
How could you not taste it?
Dude, these were the honest to Christ, the most delicious edibles I ever had. It tasted tasted just like a peanut butter cookie. Wow. That's how I thought that they weren't, because I ate it first and I was like, that's not too, you know, it was really peanut buttery tasting, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so they probably use like the peanut butter, like the weed peanut butter as well as like the fucking
they
or whatever.
Fucked you up, son.
Dude, and I take a second bite of a second one and I was already stoned, right?
My goodness.
And this is before the show.
Oh my goodness. You have to do a show?
Yeah. That's the best part. God. And somebody comes in and he's like, hey, take it easy. I made all those edibles, man.
Oh, no.
Take it easy on that. Like, you know, don't eat two. He's like, if I was you, I'd only eat a half of a cookie.
Wow,
I already killed a cookie and like I'm one bite into my second cookie, stoned as fuck off of a fucking joint. And I had that feeling, you know, that feeling where you can feel like the adrenaline, like the blood rush out of your face, like, yeah, oh, I'm fucked.
That's a terrible feeling.
Dude, I looked Asian for my set. I'm literally just like,
did you know how to talk when you're up there?
Yeah, and I, you know what? I just, because of the crowd itself, like, I just went with fucking,
the idea
I told the story.
Yeah, right. Oh.
You know what I mean? And perfect. It went over really good. I'm like, the only way out of this.
Right.
The
it's
only,
a weed show,
exactly,
though.
Exactly, dude. The only way out of this. And I just kept referencing, you know, I actually went really good because I told the whole story. You know, and then the dude coming in and telling me how the fucking I don't eat half of one of those. And as soon as I'm like, I ate one of the cookies, everyone in the crowd's like, oh, shit.
I had some of the most disconnected sets in my life doing those Howard Dover shows.
Yeah.
Because everybody would be there with weed.
It's insane,
it
bro.
It would be cookies and popcorn.
And, dude,
popcorn.
Oh, popcorn. Ice cream,
Don
bro.
Don Barris ate too much popcorn, and he was frightened for his life.
Yeah,
I love Barris. I think he's. Dude, I think Barris is hilarious.
He is very hilarious. That shit's very dangerous. The popcorn.
Yeah,
that stuff is strong.
There's nothing worse than being too high, and that's what I was saying about edibles. That's why they're dangerous. Because, like, dude, smoking a joint, smoking a bong, anything
so
like that.
So predictable.
I can, you know what I mean? Ritualistically, I can kind of control my intake.
But I gotta tell you, man, some of my best learning experiences where you get real introspective and break shit down, almost all that shit has come from me eating pot.
Yeah, it's because you're tripping.
From edibles, more so than smoking it, you mean?
You are tripping. Yeah, but when I go into the tank, I prefer to eat pot before I go in the tank because it makes it more psychedelic. The eating pot, when you close your eyes, if you have like a real heavy dose, if you eat like a big cookie or something, I've done this so many times on planes, when you close your eyes and you have these mad visions,
right?
Like really nutty. It's always like the little neon cartoon like. It's always like they're always very colorful and moving and constantly changing. It's very, very psychedelic.
But it's a totally different ride. It's totally different than pot. Yeah, it's different than smoking it. And everybody that eats that shit is just like, oh, I'm just going to get kind of baked right now. No, dude, this is a fucking buckle your seatbelt kind of shit a lot of times.
This is going to change your life, homie.
Yeah, this is a, you know, turn the TV off and
this is
kick it. Kick it.
By yourself in a dark room in silent darkness.
Right.
Trying to figure out your life.
Totally different
freaking
high.
Out. You are going to be freaking out about everything you've ever done ever. I'm like, fuck, what's wrong with me?
Right.
Fuck, I got to get my shit together. Right.
Dude. Why do I still work at my job? Yeah. You know what I mean? That's always people's first one. That's the gate into there is I hate my job. And then it's just like,
Tom Segura and I, when we went to Detroit, I gave him an edible right before we got on the plane.
Oh, no.
And he broke his whole life down on the flight. 4-hour flight.
Really?
He landed. He goes, dude, I just figured out a lot of shit about my life.
Really?
Right. Yeah, you know, I've done that so many times. Eddie Bravo's done that so many
times. Did he do it in your ear or did he do it to himself and then mention it?
He told me. No, he told me. Right. He said, dude, I really went through some shit on that flight.
Of course, the next day, though, I really broke it down. I'm a unicorn in my past life. You know, like he probably...
shit. No, Brian. Unicorn. Silly goose.
What? I mean, like, does he believe in that breaking down now? It would be interesting to talk to him now to be
he
like,
does.
Oh, I always think it's crazy shit.
No, it was really objective what he was saying. It was just talking about his diet and his work ethic and a bunch of different things. Mm-hmm. It was really like, it was obviously things that were bothering him that he hadn't been addressing.
I mean, there's some drugs that make it bad, you know, like there's drugs that actually, like, you know, pot, all those different ones have a functionality, and then there's the ones that make it bad for everything. It's like the rotten apple. It's like, no one's ever, I guarantee it, smoked a joint and robbed a bank or done any bullshit. Like, you know what I mean?
That's crazy.
I'm not saying that would be the first thing I did before I robbed the bank. I'm being high.
Gangsters.
But I'm saying not from fucking,
well, I think putting all drugs under the name, everything that affects your mind under the name drugs is just as ridiculous as one guy getting in an argument with one chick and that guy saying, well, he hates all women.
Right, I got you.
You know what I'm saying? It's
totally,
like,
bro.
Drugs are, they vary in their effects so much. The spectrum is so broad from, you know, I mean, everything is considered a drug. Like, when you go to Saudi Arabia or if you go to Dubai, you know, I know people that were arrested for having melatonin. How about that? Melatonin, which is a naturally occurring substance that helps you sleep.
Sleep, right.
Natural supplement that you buy at the store. People get arrested in Dubai if you have fucking melatonin.
Can you make it into another drug? It's like one of those, like, you know, like, it's nothing.
No,
it's just fucking...
No. I mean, it's related to a lot of psychedelic compounds chemically, but it's not... I mean, all it does is help you sleep. And, you know, you can get arrested for that shit, man. It's illegal. You can't have it. You know, so there's that is such a mild and innocuous, you know, quote unquote drug or psychoactive herb. I mean, whatever you think. I mean, if it calms you down, I guess it's got to be considered something, right? It's got to be psychoactive.
But I mean, it's 100%. I mean, I guess I'm talking about the United States. It's 100% legal. You can get that shit over the counter.
The variation between that, though, and OxyContin's is through the roof.
Right.
Like, how are these two fucking things in the same category?
And they shouldn't be. Yeah, or Valium. Valium's a killer, man. I love that shit.
Fucking Rush Limbaugh thing was going on.
How great was that, by the way?
Dude.
I loved it. It's like, well, pot calling the kettle black. Look at you, Mr. 100 pills a day.
Always the case. I mean, as a comic, don't you feel like
when you wake up and you see that in the news and you're like, thank you so much. Remember when evangelist that was like so against gays? Yeah, bro. And then it comes out, he's just sucking tranny dicks and all that shit.
Everything, man.
He's drinking out of God's straw. It's the best.
You want a coconut juice?
I'd love one, dude. You know, as a fan of the podcast, you always hear about this coconut juice.
Coconut juice is the shit. It's really good for you. It's an isotonic beverage, my friend. A natural one. This is a new company. I'm trying these out. They were at the local vegan store.
Right on. Cheers, cheers.
Oh, it's delicious. Ooh, this is just as good.
Yeah, that tastes good for you. That's good.
Exactly. Yeah, thank you, baby Jesus. I was hoping.
Right?
Because the other ones are from Thailand. And I was like, these Thai motherfuckers might have the real shit. You know, this one's from Buena Park. I don't know where.
You know what I'm saying? It's a world of difference.
I mean, that ain't the same, son.
It's those Buena Park coconuts are so fresh.
It's hard to get them from Thailand because it's so awesome in Thailand.
It's good, though.
It's so beautiful. They don't want to work all day. It's fucking gorgeous rainforest. They're busy doing Muay Thai and checking out dudes dressed up with fucking dresses on.
Right. That's cool. So where'd you get this at? Just a Thai place?
Just a regular health food store near me. It's called Follow Your Heart.
Amy and Brian, coconut juice.
It's the shit, son. Coconut juice is so good for you. It's just, this is going to sound crazy, but it's true that on battlefields, they've used it as transfusions. When people have lost blood, they've given them IVs of coconut juice to replenish their blood.
No way.
Yes.
It doesn't seem like that would work.
Yeah, that sounds insane.
Did you read that on the internet?
No, it says it on the can.
Oh, weird.
I haven't read it on the internet. Probably is more, they can't put it on the can. There's no way somebody would call you on that shit.
Right.
It must be true.
Yeah.
So speaking of science-y shit, when we're talking about things that we're interested in, there's two things that I wanted to talk about. One, before we get going, because we've been doing this how long?
Hour 35.
Okay. Well, this Richard Dawkins thing is fucking awesome. Richard Dawkins is reading his hate mail in front of a fire.
Oh, right.
Now, you know, you're always going to get haters. And I think I don't read my hate mail. I see like that someone's saying something douchey, I just delete them. Or on Twitter, I read like two words, I know where they're going with it.
When you first started getting hate mail, were you kind of like, oh shit, I'm getting hate mail?
A little weird, but now it doesn't even affect me anymore.
Right.
It used to actually affect me. I'd be like, wow, this is douchey, man. What the fuck? But now I look at it and I'm like, whatever.
Right.
I just know who you are now. Now I understand. I think all that shit, I think any contact you have with human beings, you learn more about the broad spectrum of human behavior. And, you know, when people are douchey to you, it just lets you know that those douchey people are out there, and then you become immune to them. It's like getting bit by rattlesnakes a bunch of times.
Right.
You know, after a while, you can get bit by them and nothing happens. You know?
Right, totally.
But the first time they bite you, you're fucked.
You're fucked.
It's really
right.
It's like when you first get shit on the internet, like people who become famous, like out of nowhere. Oh, like this Antoine Dotson thing. We didn't talk about that.
Yeah.
We were in Detroit, and the guy from that video, you know,
you don't
have to come.
They're raping everybody up in here.
We're going to find you.
Right. Yeah.
They made that song about him, the autotune song, and the song was really fucking good. The song we talked about on the podcast, song becomes huge.
Got a lot of money.
This guy is a fucking celebrity now, man.
Yeah.
We were in Detroit. This guy was in the front row of the weigh-ins, and I'm introducing fighters, and I'm looking down. I'm like, God damn it, that's Antoine Dotson.
Right.
Like, I can't even believe this.
Right.
Like, this is so strange. And then it turns out that Dana White fucking brought the guy there.
I was just going to ask how
Dana brought the guy there, hooked him up, got him tickets, and brought him around to everyone. Like all the ring card girls and all the different fighters and everything. And everyone loves this guy. Everyone is like shaking hands with this guy, taking pictures with this guy. I'm like, whoa. This is fucking crazy, man.
Dana should do that all the time. Just find somebody, these internet guys.
Like in every city you go to.
Like, working for a guy like Dana is so fun.
Right.
Because nothing.
He's a badass, right?
He's a great guy.
I've never met him, but he seems like he's a great guy. Yeah,
he
seems like
a great guy, and he's obsessed with making the sport bigger and huger. And
hell of a job.
He does a lot of nutty shit.
Has he got double rainbow guy yet?
No.
That's what you should get, because that guy's actually an MMA guy,
He
right?
missed the boat on Double Rainbow
Yeah, that,
guy.
Yeah,
and
that,
by the way, Double Rainbow guy never got as big as Antoine Dotson, because he didn't have a fucking...
Well, didn't have a, did song. Have a
song. Yeah. He did. They made a Double Rainbow song.
They made many songs.
Was the Double Rainbow song any good?
Yeah, it was really good.
Did we play it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we played it. Yeah, it was good, but that fucking rape song, the you know, the hide your kids, hide your wife.
Yeah.
That's just a jam, dude.
Right. It is. Like when my girlfriend was like, "Have you heard this song?" She's like, "I can't get it out of my fucking head."
Yeah.
And like played it, and I'm like, "Don't do it to me." You know, when people stick shit in your fucking head.
Oh yeah.
Couldn't get it out of my head for like a week.
It's amazing that music can do that. I've got this whole bit on that I'm working on.
Do you want to listen to this Richard Dawkins?
Yes. And this segueing back. I don't like reading hate mail. It's like, I know what you're saying. Like, I don't need to hear it. I don't need to hear it. It's one thing if there's a criticism, if someone's like reasonable and rational and they have something to say, like you can learn from them. But you only learn so much from people doing douchey shit. So I don't invite it. Like, you can invite it. Like, I remember Menstelia used to have a thing on his website. He had love mail and hate mail. You could send him hate mail, but it was so overwhelming.
That's a scale. I'd like to see how that tipping of that scale.
He got beaten down by the fucking tsunami of shit mail, of death threats.
Shutting the site down and shit.
Yeah, and so he had to abandon that shit. He had to abandon all ideas of that. But the idea is that you don't want to give someone the green light to go and be a douche. You
know,
there's so many people that are on the fence.
That's what, right.
That's what kind of sucks about editing heckler videos. When we used to do a lot of heckler videos, and then
is that it opens Pandora's box because they want a video made for them.
Like,
and
me
shit.
And Joe had like maybe 10 more heckler videos since our last one that we could have done, but then we're like, let's just not do that.
It's just drunk idiots. It's just people looking for their attention.
I love that one video that you guys had when it was out to the Comedy Store. You did the OR or whatever when you were doing like Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays. That one chick that was like, "Joe Rogan, you're fat." Remember that one? And you're like, "Bitch," and you lift up your shirt. It's like a 50-pack. He's got like a 50-pack. And she's like, "Well."
That was weird, man. That was weird.
Right.
That didn't even make sense.
I know.
Was like, I guess it was because I had puffy clothes on. I had like a sweatshirt on.
Yeah. I don't think that you did, though, because I was there then. I remember being
I had layers. I definitely had layers.
Right.
Because I remember I had a knit hat on.
Right.
So it must have been cold.
Yeah, it's probably like this time of year.
If you guys want to see it,
hoping she was going to hurt my feelings, man.
Yeah. It's called Joe Rogan Fat, so if you Google it.
Oh yeah, it's still out there. Yeah, that's a funny one. Google that
girl
one.
Was
it's
so
funny.
Mean, and they were such dumb. Because
she had said like a bunch of different shit, and you were just shooting her down, and then she's like,
"Well, one of the girls' birthday.
You're fat.
It's her birthday. It's her birthday."
Or one of those. It's always somebody's birthday.
And they wouldn't shut the fuck up. They sat in the front row, and they disrupted every comic, and people kept yelling and screaming. And then after I got off stage, they came up to me like they wanted to take pictures. Like,
it's always
friends.
That's always the one.
I was like, "You are the guys who wouldn't shut the fuck up, man. You guys ruined the whole show." "Oh, come on, don't be an asshole."
Yeah, right.
Like, be an asshole. Look, I'm just.
I was trying to help you.
Yeah, she goes, "You're fat. You're fat." She's like puffing her cheeks out. Like,
right.
She goes, "You're fat."
That was so gay.
It was bizarre. It was like, it was like, she's like, "You're Chinese." You know, like, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're a refrigerator.
Right.
It's like it didn't make any sense. You know, you want to call me short. I'm short. You would be correct. But
right.
But I know that. You can't hurt my feelings with that, you dumb cunt.
Right.
Dumb
cuntosaurus.
Cunt.
So anyway, back to the whole idea of hecklers. I don't, you know, giving people the opportunity saying, "Hey, you know, come send me some hate mail."
They'll take it.
They're going to take it. There's 100%. A lot of people on the fence that are just going to, and then they'll even say, "I didn't even really mean that. I just wanted to get your attention."
The funny thing is, if you're like, "Hey, everybody, please send me some positive feedback from my stand-up." Nothing. People have no intention of fucking doing that. Hey, man, feel free to heckle me. It's just raining Facebook posts and messages on you.
You might want to rewrite some of your jokes, son.
No, I'm just saying, no matter who you are, it's just like people will fucking...
Yeah, well, that is true. But, you know, you get a lot. I get most of my interaction online, literally, the majority, maybe 90%+, is all positive.
Oh, of course.
It's a small amount of douchey people, and it's very satisfying in that respect, you know. And my crowds, too. I mean, dude, I have, like, the best crowds. Like, I everywhere I go, I'm always honored by how nice everybody is and cool, and people come out
and
have a good time.
Yeah, you have a pretty badass fan base.
Nice people, man. Uh-huh. They're nice, cool people. You put that out there, and that's what the kind of people that respond.
Right.
You're always going to have a few idiots.
Sure.
But considering what I do, considering that I do fucking cage fighting commentary,
Absolutely.
That I used to do the UFC.
Yeah.
I mean, God.
If you're a gambling man, you would think that you're a fucking.
It should be douchey
in the parking lot. In the parking lot with like both hooks in, taking. You know what I mean?
Dude, it should be all everyone with tribal tattoos, neck tattoos.
No, yeah.
It should be everyone has foil on their shirt with Japanese writing.
Yeah.
And you know, even those people that show up, they're nice too, man.
Dude, yeah, they just you know.
Who do you think has the douchiest crowds?
Richard Dawkins.
What?
Richard Dawkins.
He doesn't have crowds, bro. He's not a comedian.
As a comic who has a douchiest crowd. Oh boy,
Dane Cook's crowd.
Who's the guy with a pop?
Those are girls.
Jeff
though.
Dunham's got to have a douchey crowd.
Well, Jeff Dunham, you know, won't make fun of Christians. He makes fun of everything but he won't make fun of Christians
because that's his fucking
crowd
audience.
Wouldn't go for that.
Yeah, dude, that's who buys his fucking puppet T-shirts and shit.
Well, I guess you know when you're making that kind of cash, though, that guy's like roping him in all over the world.
Like top 10 grossing comic. I saw a thing in like People or some magazine thing. He was top 10 grossing comics.
Yeah, he's making mad loot. And he's all squeaky clean. And it's all like weird, thinly veiled racism and shit. You know, it's all like anti-Arab shit. And,
Like the funny thing about him is, dude, like as a ventriloquist, he's not even like his mouth moves as much as my fucking mouth is moving right now. Like it's like,
this
he's
shit
just like, fuck it. I'm just going to let the puppet. I don't even care. I'm not going to try to trick anybody.
There's shit I don't get. And I'm not hating. You know, I don't get it. There's a lot of music I don't get. There's a lot of comedy I don't get.
Yeah, man. To each his own, man. Yeah, if you have your audience. I don't know. Who
obviously
else would have a douchey audience? Who else?
Menstelia is a terrible audience.
Yeah, yeah, of
his
course.
Audience, definitely.
They might be the worst.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're probably the worst. They're poor fucks. They're just sad. Yeah. They're clinging to embers.
Yeah, there's like, yeah, totally. And I don't know. I mean, it's funny to me, like, you know, because everybody busts his balls for stealing
Stan
jokes.
Hopes has the most psychos.
He's incredible, dude. You know, he is like, we were talking about him the other day. He is to stand-up comedy what like the Grateful Dead were to music. Like he has a real following. Like people travel to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, people don't really know the industry, quote unquote. They don't know what to fucking do with this. They want to do something with him, but they don't know what to do with
fuck.
It. And he doesn't give a fuck.
Well, he's doing it.
That's counterculture right there.
Yes, that's
that
real.
Is what it really is, bro. Stand-up that's alternative fucking comedy.
Yeah.
Is Doug Stanhope.
I totally agree.
Check out Doug Stanhope's comedy if you guys don't know who we're talking about. I can't believe you wouldn't, but
yeah, if you haven't heard, there's a lot of people that are just getting into this podcast now.
Sure, of course.
And there's a lot of shit that we talk about. I mean, like things like, you know, that it should be like common.
That's real
knowledge.
Alternative stand-up, yeah. I think. I think that's the way that shit goes, where it's like, fuck competitions, fuck fucking, you know, festivals.
He's
like,
really, most of his even fuck comedy clubs. He's not even hardly doing any
absolutely, yeah.
He does a few every now and then, but it's really now because he's gotten such a draw and people are so aware of it that he can kind of call the shots now.
Right.
They know, like, hey, Stanhope's going to be in town. You can either have, you know, 50 people in your crowd on Thursday night, or you can have 300. It'll be selling out in advance, you know, but, you know, he doesn't want to hear any of your bullshit. And he does it all through the internet and his relationships that he has at radio stations and stuff
that
like
being
that.
Said, he's got some psychotic crowds, you know what I mean? It's
his crowds are the most drunk. They're the craziest.
Right, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I've met a couple guys, two now, that have Doug Stanhope tattoos.
That's so crazy.
Amazing.
One guy had Sicko tattooed on his arm, like in the same way as the title of one of Doug's CDs.
CDs, yeah.
I'm like, wow, that's strong.
But that guy, that guy's a real stand-up. Like, if you want to talk about, like,
he's
that's
great.
Not industry bullshit. Yeah. He's not trying to get on a fucking sitcom. That
he's
dude
great.
Wants to do stand-up.
Yeah, and what he does is awesome.
And he's great. I've
and he's not trying to be anything that he's not. He's really just trying to figure things out and make them funny and talk about it on stage.
And a fucking great guy, too.
Yeah, the best.
What about Ralphie May's audience?
I don't know.
Hungriest audience.
That would be a weird audience. I've never even been to like a real Ralphie May concert.
Well, what's weird is there's certain people that have audiences that's entirely ethnic and they're gigantic. Like Maz Jobrani has a huge audience.
Right.
Yeah. And it's all like Persian people. There's a lot of white people too that like him. But I mean the he's a huge star in the Persian community.
Sure.
You know, like diplomats from Iran will go to see Maz Jobrani perform comedy. Yeah, like he's like the shit in that community. There's no one even close.
They just shot this thing for DirecTV that Maz was in. It's the first stand-up comedy show. They shot at the Laugh Factory that's in 3D.
Whoa.
And like you can wear like 3D glasses. It's like for those new 3D televisions. Like I guess DirecTV, if you have DirecTV, they're doing their own like 3D channel.
Yeah.
Dude, they're doing 3D games.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Call of Duty.
3D games and 3D laptops now. They have 3D laptops?
Yeah. That's stupid to me. I don't know.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, laptops are for portable use. So what are you going to be taking your 3D games to the airport and stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, some people who travel, they travel with those fucking Alienware things. Yeah. Dudes who are like hardcore.
Yeah.
I ran into some chick the other day at the coffee shop. She had one of those Alienware things.
What, you know, what's an Alienware
thing? Alienware is like a company that makes gaming computers. They make high-end PCs with like serious graphics cards.
Fucking, for the people that never see the sun.
Yeah, and this fucking gaming computer this chick had was like old school thick. It was like phone book thick.
Right, thick as fuck. Had a crank on the side of it.
Yeah, and her power thing, the thing that's on the cable, you know, the brick, what is that called? The brick that's a part of the power cable? What is that brick part called?
The brick.
That's the brick.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Right, good guess, Joe.
Her brick was, like, I have a Mac laptop. Right. Hers was at least 4, if not 5 times bigger than mine. It was giant.
But I bet she has 20 USB ports where mine's only rocking 2, you know? That's so annoying. That's one good thing about those big-ass laptops is they have everything you want, you know?
It has Blu-ray. They have everything. And there's certain things you can't get if you have a Mac. Like, if you have Blu-ray discs, you can't play them.
Right.
They just don't play.
I understand that, though, but
I don't really. I mean, I think that's stupid. I think if it's available, it should be an option. I think it should be an option for anybody selling computers. If you have that shit, it's a big part of your home stereo.
And especially
system.
If you claim to be the best. I mean, Macs, for the most part, I'm a Mac guy. But
I understand that they don't want to accept that Sony came up with the standard, you know, and that
that's
Sony
some ego it. Shit.
Yeah, that's, that is some ego shit. Right. Blu-rays are popular as fuck. Everybody has it. Stop being cunts.
Yeah, well, I think the whole point is that we're moving to just straight digital media. Like, this is going to be a quick run for this Blu-ray. And especially when Apple is the number one selling.
How quick? It's been a few years. That's in technological terms, that's a lifetime.
But that's like stabbing Apple in the back, because instead of if you don't have a Blu-ray player, you know, you're not going to use Blu-rays on your laptop. So instead you're going to be using iTunes and downloading Kick-Ass for $3 off of iTunes, you know. And so
what if you don't have a home stereo or a home theater system that's connected to a computer?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people. I'd say you're probably
using DVD then, because I mean the resolution for your screen doesn't matter anyway.
But it does if you have Blu-ray. If you have a Blu-ray and you have a big screen?
No, I'm saying it for your laptop. If you know,
okay, but what I'm saying is that if a dude has a Blu-ray and he has a Blu-ray DVD player and he watches it on his big screen and he buys a Blu-ray disc and he wants to watch the rest of it on his flight to fucking New Jersey, he should be able to stick that shit in his laptop.
Well, that's why a lot of them come with like a digital
version. Version that's
if
not
you get the Blu-ray.
A lot of them don't. I would say at least half of them don't.
Yeah, that's true.
They used to all have it, right?
I actually was under the impression that they used to not, and now they're starting to split it up.
Like Amazon even
for that exact reason that you're talking about is that, that people are being like, that sucks because I can only watch it on my one fucking TV in my basement, and I can't watch it upstairs.
And Amazon just started this thing where it's like you buy the movie from Amazon and you can immediately watch it on your computer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
That's smart.
Agree with you, though. It is a pit stop. Eventually, all media will be just coming through the air.
It's a short pit stop. That's what Apple's, I guess, looking at it as. It's like, it's not, it's going to add $100 to your laptop. Is it worth it for something that's we're going to take out in like 2 years, probably? 3 years, probably.
3D games on your fucking laptop.
Dude, just technology now. I mean, just like, look at this fucking room for the, you know what I mean? Like, how phones
and you can't get Blu-ray players.
Dude, 10 years ago, imagine an iPhone. If I would have told you about an iPhone 10 years ago, you'd be like, get the fuck out of here,
like Tebow. Witchcraft.
You're nuts. Exactly. Yeah. You're fucking crazy. Yeah, right. You can do all that on
when did you
that
get your
big.
First cell phone?
I got my first cell phone in, I want to say, 94. 94-ish, 93-ish.
93.
Early 90s.
I had a car phone way back in 1988.
You had that big-ass one with the
fucking
box?
It was actually connected to the car. I couldn't even go anywhere with it, but it's the same thing.
Sure.
And then I had a real phone I didn't get until I moved to New York, or to L.A., rather. So I was like probably the same, like 94.
Right, yeah.
Big-ass brick.
Yeah.
Those Motorola flip things. What were those things called? The really bitchin' Motorola ones? StarTex. Remember that?
You're not talking about the one. Not the one that had like the briefcase one.
No,
you're talking about
like
a real fucking
fat one.
Oh yeah, it was a Motorola.
It looked like
a
Star Trek.
Uh huh. Sure.
They would call it StarTex.
Yeah, it had the bottom that flipped out, but it was only just for your voice. It didn't have anything else on there. Yeah, that was Motorola.
The motors. I mean, you
had
the
cord you could
off.
Pull out. You know what I mean? It would push in. I remember.
Yeah,
that one.
Remember that antennas? A lot of them had
antennas. Dude,
antennas.
You had to put them on your car for shit.
Yeah, what is going on with this Apple antenna, Brian? Have they figured that thing out where if you hold the phone a certain way, you don't get any signal? Is that all bullshit?
I don't think it bothers anyone.
I've heard that it was bullshit, and I heard that it wasn't. I also heard that it was it's on Everyone the side a, that if you're left-handed, you it covers it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's death to lefties.
Yeah. So and I'm left-handed, lefties which is why with I was no like, cases, oh shit.
You
know?
Can you imagine if you were left-handed and you grew up back when people would burn people for being left-handed?
Yeah, I am actually left-handed.
Yeah,
and
there was times where people were they would correct sure. people, and yeah, if they didn't correct them, they didn't trust them, they wanted to kill them.
Yep.
What?
That they were witches because they're left-handed. Well. Dude, that just goes to show you, people are dumb as fuck and always have been. And they'll find any group to be a part of.
People fear people being different. People, and that's always the case, man. It's always totally the case. That's what racism is about. That's what sexism, all this homophobia. It's just like, man, that guy's not like me. Let's kill him. Anybody with me? Who's in?
There's a little of that, but they're also fearing what they're afraid of seeing in themselves.
Absolutely. 100%. You know? Totally.
90% of the people that are gay bashing probably just fighting off some internal need to suck some cock.
Yep. You know? Or the fear, even if it's before, it's more upstream than that, they're afraid that it's contagious and it might get on them. You know what I mean? It's like, man, if he's gay, what's next? Me? Get me the fuck.
It's a fascinating discussion when you have with people when you talk about gay being a choice or not being a choice.
What's your thought on it? Because I think it's both. I think it is absolutely both.
It's both. Yeah. You know, I think there are
people that are born with it and there are people that choose to do it.
You know, there was a Roman study, back in Roman times, but right. Rome, in Italy. Rome, right. They did a study where they concluded that it's very likely that homosexuality comes from a variation of the X chromosome and that it's inherited from oversexual women. And that oversexual women, that it may actually be some sort of a variation that was designed to make sure that they get pregnant and ensure their survival back in tough times. You know, they had to be like really slutty, and not just really slutty, but slutty with a bunch of different men. And what they found out is that women who are promiscuous are much more likely, in this study at least, to produce homosexual children. Hmm. And that when they looked at homosexual children, a statistical majority, like you could look at it on paper and go, wow, these women have, you know, they're whores.
That's fucking fascinating.
It's interesting. It makes sense. I mean,
makes a lot of sense.
Why women want to fuck men. A lot of why some girls are just freaks. There's some girls that just will fuck everybody.
Yeah.
And they're like that from the jump.
Yeah, totally.
There was a girl that I dated when I was in high school, and this bitch will fuck anyone. Anyone. Right. She fucked everyone. She was crazy.
Right, I think you have bits about it? Yeah. Or no, you did that sex show that I did with Ari.
Totally true story. I came home. This chick was so crazy. I came home one day. There was this other dude that my sister used to hang out with. And I wasn't sure if we were still dating anymore. It was one of those things we'd get in arguments. We never were really going steady.
Now, is this who you lost your virginity to?
No.
This is later.
It's a different one.
Okay.
And so this girl was so crazy that she was getting fingered in the front seat of a car in front of my house at like 4 o'clock in the morning. I had to get up because I had a newspaper route. I used to deliver newspapers.
Right.
I had a van and everything. And I would go and deliver the Boston Globe and the Boston Herald. And on Sunday, I had to get up wicked early. I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wicked. Way to represent, Joe.
Yeah. Wicked early. So it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. I had to get up. And I get out of my house. I'm fucking waking up. I'm so tired, right? I'm like thinking, man, Dunkin' Donuts isn't even open yet, right?
Right.
I gotta go to work. So I get in my truck, and as I'm walking towards my truck, I see that this kid, I forget his name, he's parked right behind me on my street. Right in
at four
front
in the morning,
of my
at
house,
five in the morning, or some
and
shit.
He's his hands going like this. He's fingering her, and he's like making out with her. And so I stand in front of the car watching this, and they're totally oblivious that anyone's in front of them. And they're like drunk. They probably drove drunk.
Yeah, right.
And he's fingering her, and she's in the front seat, and she's like, and then I slam my hand on the hood of the car, and I look at the both of them, and I go, and that's all I said,
right.
And then I got in my car and I drove away.
And that was like, so at that, like right before you walked out of your house or apartment or whatever, at that point in time, you were like, I'm not sure if this is my girlfriend. Oh, okay. I'm not sure if this is my girlfriend or not. I'm not sure where we stand.
She was so crazy. It was just a girl. I mean, she was never my girlfriend.
Right, right, right.
It was like, and she would, you know, we had like a thing where she wanted to be my girlfriend and I didn't want her to be, I wanted another girl to be my girlfriend.
Right.
So I said no. And then I asked her, do you want to be my girlfriend later? And she was no, because you said no the first time. So I was like, all right, whatever. And this shit went on for like a year.
Yeah. All the while you're banging her.
Yeah, always. You could, she would bang you after a date with another dude. This bitch was crazy.
Right.
She just, never would say no.
She's Facebook friends with her now?
No, I don't want to be. It's crazy. she would just bang
Facebook
anybody.
Friends with her.
I used to talk about it like her with Dick was like a kitten with a ball of yarn. You couldn't even drag a ball of yarn in front of a kitten. They're going to dive on that.
Right, that's right, like right, her right, with Dick. Right.
Everyone who tried to fuck this girl fucked her. And she was really pretty.
I want
to
see what she looks like now.
She was probably... I don't want to say. I'm trying to be a positive person.
Yeah, no more hate
mail. She probably
mail.
Looks exactly like Richard Dawkins. Why don't you play that shit? Play that.
Yeah.
This is Richard Dawkins sitting in front of a fire and he's reading hate mail. What's the name on the Twitter or the YouTube video?
Richard Dawkins reads hate mail.
Okay,
hate emails.
And he's sitting in front of a fire with his feet propped up on his laptop with a big smile on his face and he's reading this shit and all these fucking. Knuckleheads. Richard Dawkins is a very famous atheist and an intellectual.
You do not believe in the existence of God, but you believe in aliens. But the very existence of your animosity, hatred, and mockery towards him proves your hypocrisy. I suggest that you find the longest crowbar you can find to pull your head out of your behind. If there is no order in evolution, how were you born with your head on your shoulders?
They get it. No, I meant they get it. The image.
You're so smart in your own eyes, you can't comprehend simple Bible passages and misconstrue them for your own bullshit dogma. I read your book about the Bible. It is totally sucks ass. One-sided propaganda. Your theory sucks. You are not as wise as you think you are. You hypocrites want to condemn anybody for making mistakes. Or believing different from your bullshit, retard, atheism dogma. Hawking's books are fucking stupid bullshit.
That is a shot in the fire.
In your life, then what is the point of your life? Pointless. When you die, that's it. Game over. How pointless is that? I really feel sorry for you all. But it's not too late to turn to God.
There's a lot of people listening going, yeah.
Words from God to you. Right. Dear atheist, this is what God says about you. You are a fool.
You are a fool. That's four words.
And that's like how they speak for
this
God.
This from somebody called Ann Coulter.
No way.
I defy any of my co-religionists to tell me they do not laugh at the idea of Dawkins burning in hell.
I always love that.
You suck. Mm. Go burn in hell. Satan will enjoy torturing you. What happened? Mum didn't pay enough attention to you, so you decided to rebel. I hope for your own sake you see your grave mistake and repent. God dwells among us every day. You are the spawn of evil. Christian living for God.
So funny.
I hope you die slowly and you fucking burn in hell, you damn blasphemy. Right now you are rotting on the inside. But you must know that there is indeed a God, a great God, and he will forgive you if you regret from your fucking behavior. And you should realize that your entire life has been a delusion, and that right now, your destiny is all fucked up. Our God is a loving God. But if you keep peddling this kind of filth, then I pity you when Jesus returns. I hate your fucking guts.
Sincerely.
Ha ha, you fucking dumbass. I hope you get hit by a church van tonight and you die slowly.
Such loving people.
Wow. Okay. That's. Can you imagine being that dude?
Thank you for joining me.
Well, dude, it's guys like that that get their lives threatened. I mean, those.
You know,
he could be a marked man.
If he was talking about Islam, he'd probably already be dead.
Yeah.
Religious fanatics are the scariest fucking people in the world to me.
Poor fuck.
By the way, if you're listening to this and you're a religious fanatic, my name's Ari Shafir.
Yeah, and my phone number is.
Don't you do it. You remember when we used to give out his phone number on stage?
Yeah. Duncan actually had it on websites and everything like that.
Yeah, we would say after show, and if you enjoyed Ari, his phone number is blah,
right.
Blah, 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 blah. People would write that down. His phone would be ringing all night. Didn't that happen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
who
totally.
Who did that on stage with him?
Duncan, I thought.
Was it Duncan?
Yeah.
It was, right?
Sounds like Duncan. Yeah. Right up Duncan, right in his wheelhouse.
Yeah. Duncan is so fucking crazy.
Those used to play like elaborate. They used to break into each other's house, like Duncan pissed in a glass. Broke into when they were neighbors. Duncan broke into Ari's place and pissed in a glass and put it in his refrigerator.
Oh my god!
It's like Ari opens his refrigerator and he's like, "What the? You know what I mean?" They used to steal each other's mail. They used to do all kinds of terrible shit to each other.
That's hilarious. Before we leave, there's another thing that I want to talk about that's pretty fucking crazy, and I think you'd get into this because you're in a weird shit.
Okay,
this is Brian. God damn it. Physicists from the University of Bonn, I don't know where that is, have
I
developed...
I think it's Germany.
Is it? Yeah. Yes, it is Germany. Thank you very much. They've developed a completely new source of light, a so-called Bose-Einstein condensate consisting of photons. Until recently, now whatever the fuck this means, experts had thought that this was impossible, and this method may potentially be suitable for designing novel light sources resembling lasers that will work in the X-ray range.
Right.
Among other applications, they might allow building more powerful computer chips, and these scientists are reporting their discovery in the upcoming issue of the journal Nature. So these motherfuckers have figured out a new form of light, a new source of light.
That's cool.
They're never going to run out of discoveries.
Oh, no, I don't.
Never.
Until they find the one that just kills all of mankind. That's the only way that ends.
A collider. Is there, you think that's it? Is there, how many layers does this fucking onion have? I mean, is there a core? Do they keep inventing shit until
they
come up?
I think the core is time travel, or the core is once it all becomes interlinked, and once, you know, I think the core of it is just like an understanding of the universe, like, and how it relates to itself.
That time travel theme comes up here on the show a lot.
I can imagine.
We've had a lot of us that are you know, the idea of it. Look, the idea of sending a picture through the air to you or I, you know, if we had to come up with it on our own, how to do that, it sounds like there's no way. There's no way it could happen.
I could do it right now.
But
I have no idea how it fucking happens.
But someone did figure it all out, group of people. They got to the point where it happened. Now, if we, you know, as a unit of three, if we were designed, you know, we were told to go out and make a new way to send video through the air so that it hits another box, something like
it would involve soup cans and strings.
Fucking, it would be impossible.
Right,
we could live 100 lives,
no,
and we would never
not.
Even come
yeah.
close.
No.
But yet somehow or another, people were able to put it all together and do that.
Sure.
That to me says there's no end. It's just everybody puts a piece in. This guy makes the wheel, and that guy makes the axle, and this guy makes the steering wheel. And maybe he doesn't know anything other than steering wheels, but he knows to make that steering wheel, and he puts it all together. And it's like one big, giant fucking anthill designed to create new
technology. It's the building blocks of evolution. I mean, it really is the quintessence of what evolution really is those, you know, those minuscule steps where something opens up another box and another layer of the onion, like
and
you put
that
it.
They have to all act as individuals but together as a unit. That's the key to getting anything done. Anybody that does something, like say a guy like, you know, Stephen Hawking, who's, you know, particle physicist, like Michio Kaku or something like that, they dedicate their entire life to concentrating on, you know, particle theory and concentrating on the cosmos and concentrating on science. Like that is their spot. That's what thing they do, and from the things they discover, we get more of an understanding about stuff, and then some guy will come up with some new fucking thing that ties into that.
Sure, man. And I mean, they pass it on. That's why those guys are professors. They pass the baton to the next class of people. They're like, build upon what he did.
And we're all acting together.
Sure.
We're all we just can't see it. We just can't see it, but we're all acting together. And time machines.
Yeah, I think time... I don't know. I don't want to get too far. I mean, I know we're almost wrapping up, so it's a little late in the show to start a time traveling fucking conversation.
We've had him 100 times on
the
show.
Yeah, I heard Lockhart's a big
He's
time,
a big time freak, too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's one of the cool things about knowing a lot of comics and knowing a lot of dudes that hang out at the Comedy Store. A lot of comics have a lot of goddamn time, and they sit around and think about shit.
And they're generally smart
people.
Like, the better the comics, you know, are smart thinkers. They're, you know, deep thinkers, open to fucking new ideas or concepts.
Consider things.
Anything but close-minded are good comedians.
Yeah. And you know what? It's one of the most important things. If you want to have a fun life, you know, you got to surround yourself with other people that are asking questions too, and honest ones, so that when you know, like here's a good perfect example. Me and my buddy Jimmy DiTilio, I think I was 18 and he was 19, and we got a Ouija board. And we're like, do you believe in this shit, man? I'm like, I don't know. We were totally terrified.
Yeah,
like, let's,
how old
let's
you?
Go fucking get one. 18 and 19.
Yeah, that's what I was already laughing about was that.
I'm not proud of it, but I'm telling the truth.
My favorite part of that story.
So we went and we got this fucking Ouija board, and he's like, I'm not going to move it. I'll tell you what, if it's moving, it's because either you're moving it or ghosts are moving it. And I'm like, right. I'm not fucking moving it either. If it's moving, it's because ghosts are moving it. Okay, deal. We shook hands, right. And then we sat down in his apartment. And we started pushing, you know, sitting this thing down, and we kept our fingers on it. We sat there for like 15 minutes. We'd look at each other, we'd make eye contact and go back, and then we'd ask some more questions,
right.
Try to be like real open-minded. And then finally, he picked his hands off it. I picked my hands off it. He goes, fuck this fucking stupid thing.
Yeah.
He threw it across the room. We started laughing. But, like, I knew he wasn't going to fuck with me.
Right,
figured this shit out together.
Right.
We're like, okay, together, this is horse shit.
Right.
Because I knew I could trust him.
Sure.
I knew that's the most important thing ever, to have other people that are questioning shit and other people that you can trust, so that you don't have to figure it all out on your own.
Right.
And then me and Jimmy got in a pillow fight, and we wrestled around a little. Yeah, after.
Grabbed his cock.
I know.
Showed him some new submission holds.
Right.
Yeah. It's just like a double wrist lock, but it's on your cock.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. No. Didn't do any of that. But that's our lesson for the day, folks.
Yes.
There's about 85,000 suck my cock jokes in today's episode.
Is that a new
record?
This
is an episode where I said I was going to stop saying faggot.
Yeah. I know.
So it's completely gay.
So appropriate.
Episode.
We want to thank The Fleshlight once again for sponsoring our podcast.
I'd like to thank the hell out of Fleshlight, if you know what I'm saying.
I'm going to get you one of these. I'm going to get you one. I got some laying around, son. I'm going to give you one.
I will report back.
I'll give you one of them blue bitches. Look at this one. It's not Avatar.
Is that the alien one?
Yeah. Yes, aliens. But don't be confused, because right. Even though it looks like it would be from Avatar, that would be some sort of a copyright infringement.
Oh, is there an Avatar
situation?
Oh, yeah, okay.
No, there
saying.
Isn't.
Oh, I thought you were saying.
But you can't just go sell an Avatar pussies, man. That's not cool. It's not like public domain. It's a new movie, man. You can't just. But somehow or another, they're getting away with this. It's probably because Homeboy doesn't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Or.
Oh, as soon as he finds out, that's a cease and desist,
Cameron,
right away.
He's got so much money. Maybe he's not going to give a fuck. Maybe he just wants to fuck this.
Yeah.
Maybe he's happy that they made it, and he's just going to pretend he doesn't know it exists.
Have his lawyer send me one of those.
He has a whole house full of them. He's got a room. He has my Avatar.
I really hope it becomes a Smurf pussy soon, when the Smurf movie comes out.
Is there a Smurf movie coming out?
Yeah, maybe like the Smurf.
When is that coming out?
Smurfette 2000. I think beginning of the year.
Really? What's his name's playing Gargamel, too? It's Hank Azaria.
Is he a human Gargamel?
Yeah.
It's so like it's a human live action movie?
With 3D,
CGI.
And they're all blue,
Smurfs.
The whole deal? Oh, wow. Yeah. Interesting. When is that coming out?
I don't know. It's under really tight wraps. Like, they wouldn't let any pictures out of it. Or somebody got a picture of Hank Azaria.
If you go to iSmurfed.com, there's more info.
I'm just waiting for Cowboys and Aliens. That's what I'm waiting for, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am a big cowboy movie fan, and I'm a big alien movie fan.
Yeah.
And thank God someone decided to mix those two together.
Yeah, right? Dude, when I went back home like to Indianapolis, like, I don't know, like a few months ago and shit. And a bunch of my cousins were there, and like, dude, yeah, Joe Rogan, right? I'm like, yeah. And they like listen to the podcast and all this stuff. They're like, you ever hear him talk about aliens? Bro, I fucking laughed for 15 straight minutes. Well, like, no, never. I've never heard Joe Rogan once mention aliens. Does he talk about that? Or I've never heard.
That's so strange. People who are into aliens, man, it's like being into Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're into it.
The
they're
alien
fans.
Army.
They're fans. You know, it's like people who are into ghosts, too. It's the same shit. They're fans of ghosts. You know,
right.
They're fans of the idea of ghosts. You know,
I think
it.
One's a little more realistic than
which
the other.
Which one's more realistic, ghosts or
Kid,
aliens?
Kiss. No, I was talking about Kiss.
Yes. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to email Teeb or send him some Twitter love, it's what is your Twitter?
It's
again?
At the Teeb. TheTeeb. At the Teeb.
TheTeeb.
TheTeeb.
The Teeb.
You know
Teeb, as in Jason Tebow. So get at him on Twitter, yo. You know you want to be following this funny motherfucker. He's got shows all around town.
Follow me, faggot.
And you could catch him. Where you at next?
This Tuesday, me and Sam Tripoli, another funny comic, are both going to be co-headlining at Velvet Jones in Santa Barbara. So if you're up there, come to that.
Son. And doesn't he have a
and our
naughty
next
show?
Our next naughty show is December 9th at the Hollywood Improv. We have
okay.
Nick Schwartz in, Freddie Lockhart.
Oh,
shit. Taylor Vixen's going to be there.
What?
Taylor Vixen. Red Ben, why don't you tell us
who's
about
that? Who's that, Brian?
I don't know.
titties.
But yeah, that's December 9th. December 9th at the Hollywood Improv is the next Naughty Show.
All right. So that's it. The Teeb at Twitter. Facebook. How do you get a hold of you on Facebook?
Jason Tebow on Facebook.
And spell that shit, son, because it's foreign.
It's extremely foreign. J-A-Y-S-O-N.
Jason with a Y.
And Tebow. T-H-I-B-A-U-L-T.
That is not Tebow.
Yeah. Thibault. It looks like Thibault. It's a French-Canadian nightmare.
So T-H-I-B-A-U-L-T.
You got it.
So
Jason
all
Tebow
you
on
motherfuckers
Facebook.
Have no excuses. Oh, that's it. Big New Year's show. And I'm going to keep talking about this thing because, like I said, we got to sell this place out. Me and Joe Diaz at Mandalay Bay the day before the UFC, January New Year's.
31st.
December 31st.
December 31st, yeah.
December 31st. And then January 1st is the UFC. Obviously, it's New Year's. It's December 31st, you fucking dummy. Right. Stop talking, stupid. That's it. I'm going to stop talking. This is the end of the podcast.
Fleshlight.
I love you, bitches. Power to the Fleshlight. Go to joerogan.net, and there's a link. If you click on it, you get 15% off. Use the code word Rogan. Holla at ya, boy. And we'll see you guys next week. Oh, Jason Mayhem Miller's joining us next week. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Mayhem, we're going to have a special one that will be on Monday. And then on Tuesday, I'm doing Tom Green's podcast at the Smod Castle in Santa Monica. Details to follow, bitches. Thank you very much for tuning in. As we've said in the past, and I'm going to say this again because it rang true with people. You are not the past, goddammit. You are not your mistakes. You are what you've learned and who you can be. Move forward. With prosperity and power and honesty and black dicks
and black Go dicks you black dick. Cocksuckers
big dicks in your ass is bad for your health. Facebook, Twitter
find me on Friendster.
Stay black. Why we ended with this gay music, Brian?
I know.
Don't text me, cocksucker,
and don't say faggot.
Don't say faggot. It's not nice.
HIV. Till it was too late.
AIDS. HIV.